Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who's got the wiener schnitzel? Let's see, next we got roast beef au jus. Who's got the roast beef au jus? Last but not least, foot long. Who's got the foot long?
PFW in Progress.
Okay, gang, you know the rules. No humping, no pushing, no sniffing hiding.
With Fred Kirsch.
Rule. Host, annual,
host,
annual, an annual, annual, annual meeting of
the big one, International Preservation Society tomorrow night.
Paul Perillo.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
Don't you go dying on me.
And Andy. And Andy?
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
I beg your pardon?
The owls, they're beautiful.
Andy Hart.
Must have been following us for weeks.
What do you say?
How the hell do they know that I got gas?
Eric Scalavino.
I can't feel my fingers anymore. They're numb.
Maybe you should wear these extra gloves. My hands are starting to get sweaty.
Extra gloves? We've had this pair of extra gloves this whole time?
Yeah. We're in the Rockies.
For now, anyway.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah! PFW in Progress.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Can I hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys! Guys!
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio or something?
Are we back? Oh. I tell you, this is going to be a good show.
The show started 10 minutes ago before the show started.
Yeah, it is going to be a good one.
If people are ready for Everybody Against Fred, this is the show. Because no, it's Everybody Against Fred.
I'm not ready to be Everybody Against Fred, but I think this is a lot of good stuff to talk about.
All right. Well, anyway, welcome to PFW in Progress. As we always do on Thursdays from 12 to 2, we're here to talk about the Patriots. And like Paul said, there's a lot to talk about here. Some of it good, some of it bad.
What's good?
Depending on, what's good is we got a football game coming up Sunday.
Oh, okay.
And I think we got a pretty good chance of winning.
So all 32 NFL teams have something good.
We might actually even talk about that, in between.
Working at all?
Not really. Might as well have been a limp piece of.
In between talking about players being sent home and people talking today, so. The big news, obviously, coming out of yesterday, and before I get to that, webradio at patriots.com, is the email address, 508-543-7482, was the four players who were sent home, Burgess, Adalys Thomas, Randy Moss, and Gary Guyton. So there's some fallout from that today. Obviously, those guys weren't at practice yesterday because they were told to go home. They're back here today, and I guess Adalys Thomas held some court.
Did.
In the locker room.
I just gave Doc approximately 8 minutes of audio that I think he's going to cut up so we can get some
now,
of that.
Now, is Doc ready with that? Because I'd like to lead off with that so that we can then just get reaction from
him. Doc was eating.
I got to go through it. I literally got it 2 minutes before the
show
starts.
Unless you want to roll on 8 minutes of audio.
Why not?
Okay.
When
he says S-H-I-T, hit the button.
You don't really have to. But anyway, let's hear what AD said in his own words. And then,
as they were said,
yeah,
no cut up, no magic work from your little box. Play it.
Well, do you have anything to tell us, or can you tell us about what happened yesterday?
I got sent home. That's pretty much it.
I know when that happens, a reputation can be attached to a player that might not always be fair. Can you add more context to that? I mean, there might have been a reason behind it.
I think everybody woke up to the snow yesterday, so I didn't know it was an snow. So it was traffic. I could run people over getting hurt. I'm not going to do that. I actually almost had a car accident. But it is what it is. He did what he thought was best for him. And that's what he did.
How surprising was it to you?
It was surprising, just from the standpoint that, you know, you notify when you think you're going to be late, and it still happens. So, you know, that's what I was told to do, you know, you think you're going to be late, you know, notify or whatever, and you do that and you're still late. So, I guess just part of the fire safety thing is not too good. Yeah. That's first time.
So, Des, you were here, or you get a phone call? You were here, and then you were told.
Oh, to go?
Sure. Yeah.
You didn't hurt so much. It's actually been a hill since to clear the air.
What?
It seems like
I didn't talk about it.
What's that?
I didn't talk about it.
You're not talking about it.
I nothing to talk about.
It just seems like there's a strain. From my view, I'll just speak for myself between the two of you, and I just thought, you know, sometimes clearing the air can get people on the same page.
If I didn't do, I mean, you have to ask them about that. I have no idea. I just do what I'm told. I still go on, so that's what I do.
Can you say, did you say, do you really talk to your teammates about what happened yesterday?
Everybody know what happened. I don't think you
do. Do you feel compelled to say something about biology, what have you?
No, I mean, that's one thing about Mother Nature. You can't control that. You can't run people over and get in the works. I mean, so nothing I'm going to apologize. I didn't try to be late, you know, but that's basically it. But I mean, I don't know really what to say. I mean, you leave home, you have people there, cars sitting in the road, you're sitting there, and you know, what you do? It's not the Jetsons. I can't jump up in this flag. What else am I supposed to do?
Frustrating business
you've
been to
from
a personal standpoint?
Real frustrating. I mean, so, but it is what it is. You know, people, you know, just one thing about being a professional is good things and it's bad things. And so, you know, it's a lot of things that you can say or whatever, but it's just not a good time. So, you know, it's not, you know, but I don't want people to think it was put out there like, you know, I just didn't show up and we didn't have a reason, didn't nobody know, and that's not true. That's not the case at all. And so with that being the case, then, you know, I was trying to be a professional, let you know that traffic's bad, you may not make it on time. And when you do that, after you do that, you know that's what you're going to do.
How late were you?
That's irrelevant.
Pardon me?
Oh, that's irrelevant. I think I came at 8:09 or something like that.
Were you driving in with any of the other three guys, or you were by yourself?
No, I was all by myself.
So
there,
it wasn't
so.
Like one car. It was more, you know, you weren't clearly alone.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't carpool. No, we didn't do that.
Being professional. Do you feel like they treated you professionally?
That's a personal thing. You know, he's the head coach. He makes all the calls. And so whether you agree with it or not, you just roll with him. And so that's why they pay him to be the head coach. He has that title. So, you know, he doesn't have to have a reason to send you home. You just have to abide by it. You know, I was told to go home. I went home, enjoyed my day off, put my toes up in the air, and relaxed.
Are you concerned that this is at all a distraction as this team is fighting right now for a playoff berth?
I think it's more than what it should be. So, you know. You know, your focus should be on Carolina, but instead, you know, it's on, you know, this whole topic of being late or not. So it'll be determined on Sunday after the game. We play well, then, you know, it'll be the whole great thing and this. If he doesn't, then you guys are kind of come back to this whole thing and say it was a distraction. So, you know, you might as well write it now. So what you think it is. So don't be 2020 hindsight. Don't do that now.
Do you think it hurt your preparation?
Actually, you know, I watched a lot of film yesterday. You know, I watched a lot of games. And so kind of got to jump on the film because I had a lot of free time on my hands.
Did you talk to the other players who were late?
Yeah.
And what were their reactions?
I mean, I'll let you ask them about their reaction. I can only speak for myself. I'm not going to speak for anybody or say what somebody else said. If they want that to be known, then I think it's only fair for them to say that.
Do you think Bill used you guys as some sort of a message or a teaching tool? Or?
You have to ask. I don't know. A teaching tool? I don't know. I can't figure out what Bill thinks or knows. I don't know it. I promise you I don't.
You seem like you've had a...
as far as
like I said, I have no idea. I just do what I'm told. And whatever I'm told to do, that's what I do. And I try to do it in a professional manner. That's the only thing. I try to come here. I try to be professional. I try to do what I'm asked to do. And try to do it at the best of my ability.
Were the four of you told at the same time, or was it individual?
I was here. Me and another player was here. We were told together. It wasn't in a meeting or anything like that. So.
Was it by Bill or someone else?
I was notified by Bill.
After that Tennessee game, you said, you know, Bill wanted to talk to you, he could come talk to you. Have you guys had any conversations or maybe, you know, any discomfort between the two of you?
No.
Bill, you said, that you don't know how Bill's thinking or what he's thinking. Is it the fact that there's that disconnect with him, the coach and the player, is that a problem, do you think?
I don't know. I mean... I really don't know, dude. I'm dumbfounded for, you know, trying to. I don't try to figure it out. I let you guys do it. You guys do a lot more guessing at it than I do. So, like I said, whatever I'm told to do, that's what I do.
You really are perplexed, though. I mean, you just said you were dumbfounded by what went into the decision to send you home.
I mean, it's a lot of things that go on that you're dumbfounded by. And so not just that, but, you know, you just roll with it. You know, I'm an Indian. I'm not the chief. So, you know, I just roll with the punches.
So what happened yesterday, just for your personal service, motivation, you know, that?
Motivation is for kindergartners. I'm not a kindergartner. Sending somebody home, that's like, oh, you expelled and come back and make good grades. Get that shit out of here. Ridiculous. Motivation.
Did you get any fines for I know the team sometimes imposes fines.
I have no idea. I haven't received anything like that. So, you know. But the biggest thing is this, you know, trying to get back to Carolina, trying to get business back to hand, because I know you guys had questions about it, and then it's wondering, is it this, is it that? And, you know, I wanted to clear my name from the standpoint that I tried to be professional and by letting them know that I was going to be late.
Did you talk to Bill today?
No.
Hey, has this changed your viewership as far as watching the weather? Kind of watch the weather?
I never really watched the weather like that because they 50-50. So, you know, it's going to rain or it's not. I don't know. It's 2 inches a day.
Sorry, Sean.
And so, you know, it's just really, you know, like I said, I got a chance to watch a lot of film. They got great backs, Carolina. They have, you know, good wide receivers. And, you know, we got to try to get a win. That's the only thing that really mattered. That now I didn't address all the questions about tardiness and snow and stuff like that. No, y'all going to take off now. Because all the juicy stuff gone.
What about Carolina?
You talked about how you want to clear your name with us. Do you want to clear your name with your fellow teammates? Your fellow teammates in the locker room today, did you tell them why you were late yesterday? Or?
Did you know that question was here? Somebody over here? No, I mean, like I said, I mean, we're on to Carolina now. I mean, so that's really what we're trying to focus on now. We're not focusing on apologizing to somebody. I didn't do anything intentionally. I didn't try to be late, so I mean.
What do you think the defense needs to do to get back to where it was?
Whatever it takes to win. You know, I think, you know, I can only speak for myself as far as, you know, just play better. Play better consistently, play more consistently for myself. Cover better, tackle better, know your assignment better, and then execute it in the game. I think that's what I have to do.
All right, well, that's it. That's the essence of what he said. There was a few more seconds after that talking about football.
Who wants to talk football?
But that was Adalys Thomas today who, you know, say what you want. Maybe it was harsh with what Belichick did, but my feeling is I don't know if the other three guys are going to talk.
Moss did not. Gary Guyton did not. I didn't see Derek Burgess.
You know, I don't see why Adalys Thomas had to hold court for 8 minutes.
He said he wanted to you know, portray his side of the story and make sure it wasn't. No. Now, I don't think he cleared all that much up because I think everybody assumed it snowed. He was late. He got sent home.
I know why he was late. But
that's what he wanted to do. He's a man. He's allowed to speak for himself, right?
He is.
I thought for the most part, he tried to do what he said he tries to do, be professional. Do what he's told and be professional. There were a couple little...
Look, he was definitely not taking the blame here.
No, I know. But I also don't think he tried to take a stick of dynamite, light it, and throw it in the middle of the locker room.
You know?
Not really.
Oh, I do.
I think he could have been much more...
I think he questioned everything. I think he said he's dumbfounded by a lot of things that go on around here.
Yeah, and you're fixating on the few phrases I said.
I'm just an engine. I'm not the chief, but yet I will tell you that I don't like it. I mean,
you know he's upset. Did you expect him to say,
I know.
I couldn't be happier?
Well, what about being a teammate and a professional, going to Bill, hey, sorry I was late, and moving on?
Well, this is, I mean, Thomas is different than the other three because this has a history.
No, I understand.
The ask Bill.
I understand.
You know, he used the same kindergarten
why
crap
is there that
his motivation.
Why is that
because
history?
Bill deactivated him.
I know, but, and then, of course, everything... has a reason.
I think you're getting two guys with some stubborn sides butting heads.
Right.
Both guys maybe think the other guy should come talk to him and iron this out, and both guys are saying, I'm not going to talk to him.
I know, but one guy says he's the Indian, but he doesn't act like it.
But I think if he were told, report to Bill Belichick's office, he wants to talk to you, he'd report.
Of course he would. But right now, Bill Belichick has nothing to say to him.
But wait a minute. You're saying that he's not acting like an Indian. Well... As far as I know,
PC day here.
Well, I mean, I'm using Thomas's words, okay? As far as I know, and maybe you guys are aware of something else, but the only thing that I know of for sure that he didn't do that he was told to do was he showed up 9 minutes late yesterday.
Right.
So you're saying he's not acting like an Indian? Well, I think he has acted like a player in this situation. He has done what he has been asked to do. He was asked to not play against Tennessee. He didn't play.
Okay.
He came back and played the next game.
Do you think anyone on this team this year has been disciplined for any reason? Whether
yes.
It's a,
yep.
Do they have a press conference in front of the locker room every time they do?
Do I think anybody was sent home from a meeting for arriving?
Well, I didn't say. I said whatever.
But don't you think that
I
plays
think this
into
was
it?
The most dramatic discipline of the season.
So I'll be waiting for the other three guys to do the same thing that Adalys Thomas did today.
Well, I don't think they're stand-up guys, and I don't think they will.
Stand-up guys now? Yeah. So it's stand-up guys to complain about your coach with the media.
That's
stand-up?
I didn't hear him
complaining. That's what you would do?
I didn't hear him complain. Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's what I would
do.
Yeah,
me too.
It's, well,
no question.
I'm a man. Listen, I don't need someone else to talk for me.
Yeah.
I don't allow the other team to talk for me. I don't allow anybody else in the team to talk
What does that mean?
For
How about just, you know, take it and go move on?
He did.
No, he didn't.
He showed up for work today. If he didn't take it and move on, he wouldn't have been here today.
That's not moving on, Paul.
But, Fred, another aspect of this, you're talking about other discipline.
So, wait
don't
a minute.
You think
just
wait,
smile.
Can I just say this?
I'm sorry.
Don't you think a factor here is maybe he's seen 5, 4, 3, 25 other people show up late to meetings on a certain day and nothing happened, and he feels like they're being treated unfairly, right?
Well, talk to your coach.
I know.
If
I said he's being
say,
stubborn.
Talk
There's
to
no
your coach.
Doubt he is not happy in being stubborn.
Talking to the media
but
is
that's
not
why
the
I
way
think...
to do it. I'm not saying you don't stand up for yourself.
You think he's
you
mad?
You go and talk to the guy who you have a problem with.
Do you think he's mad?
Not complain to the media.
You think he's mad and been treated unfairly?
All you're doing is feeding into the media machine.
But do you think he's mad?
The media
and feels,
loves this.
Do you think he feels like he's been treated unfairly?
Possibly.
I do.
Possibly.
And when you're treated unfairly and you want to get back at somebody, what do? You hit him where it hurts. How do you hit Bill Belichick where it hurts?
That's not the
you
way
talk
to,
in the
that's
media.
That's not to do
because what does Bill tell you not
he
to do?
He said he's a professional.
Yeah, I know. You're... He's upset.
For some reason, you think talking means you're not professional.
I don't understand. I think going to the guy you have a problem. Paul, I would hope if I did something to you here in professionally in work that you wouldn't go talk to the media or talk to you know what I'm saying. Or
Paul Perillo holding a conference in his office.
I would expect you would come to me and say, hey, Fred, I didn't like
but
that.
But it's completely apples to oranges.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, because we don't talk to the media every day as part of our job.
Whatever it is, Paul.
I don't have that. I would hope
you don't go around the company talking to people until you've talked to me.
No, I never would.
You wouldn't do that, Paul.
Never. It's never in a million years.
Of course you would.
But it's not.
Because you are a stand-up guy.
But it's not apples
There's
to
apples.
There's no comparison. It's not apples to apples.
Yes, it is.
I don't have media people asking me questions every day.
You've got a job. I'm saying, even to coworkers, you've got a job.
Wait a minute. I don't have coworkers asking me questions every day either.
You don't think if Paul showed up late every day for a month, you know, stretch it as you may here with your imagination.
What?
And then one day I show up late and you tell me, go home and you're being docked a day's pay.
Right.
You don't think I'd be talking to other people and pissed off?
You wouldn't come to me?
I would, but I'd be talking to other people too.
Okay, and if you came to me, if I had
You know what, Fred? If you and I think you as a boss have a generally an open door policy. You talk to people.
Right.
Right? I don't think Bill Belichick does.
I don't know. You don't know either.
I don't know either, but I've had bosses that I probably wouldn't have talked to.
Because
bosses that never talked to me, and if the only time they talked to me was telling me you're being docked a day's pay, well, you know what? I probably wouldn't be talking to them. I'd be bitching to somebody else.
Teddy Bruschi said he does have an open door policy.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just with certain guys. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he did say that he does.
But we've had enough players complain about his communication and that
sure.
There's some fire there.
If you're a man, you confront the person you have a problem with.
I would agree with you on that. I think,
of course, that's also what Adelis Thomas said.
I think you should.
If you're a man, tell me I'm going to be inactive.
And that's where Andy's thing about the stubbornness.
No, Matt Patricia told him.
Okay, but
I'm just saying. I'm trying to take Adelis's perspective.
In this particular time, Belichick told him to go home. No, he didn't have Matt Patricia.
But last time he didn't, and Adelis's whole spin was, if you have a problem with me and you're a man, come talk to me.
Well, in that case, it was a game day decision, and that's probably the way they do it.
But I know the facts that you are spewing generally are true. There's emotion. There's anger that muddies it
all. Look, I understand. But I also don't think this. I don't think that Bill Belichick acts irrationally. I think the opposite.
God, no.
I think the opposite. I don't think that he lashed out at Adelis Thomas. I think that there's something going on here. It's built up to this point, okay? Maybe those other three guys were just unlucky to be in the same situation as Adelis Thomas.
No, I think Adelis Thomas was unlucky to be 9 minutes late.
You know
just
what?
Like those other guys
that makes even more sense.
I think, you know, I'm not even sure Bill, he knew he wanted to do something, but he didn't know these guys were going to be 9 minutes late.
Yeah.
He didn't even know that traffic was going to be terrible. There was going to be a storm. So I just think an opportunity presented itself. I personally believe, and I told you this upstairs, this is a message. This is 4 weeks to go.
Right.
SH blank blank again, can't happen like this again.
And I agree with that. And what I'm saying is I think there was a buildup in Bill Belichick's mind to this. Forget about
five losses, I think.
Well, exactly. Forget about who the individuals were in this point. He, you know, whatever it was after that, he's probably been pissed off since Sunday. And then this happened. And like you said, Adelis Thomas was unfortunate enough to be in this group.
I think other than Tom Brady, anybody would have been sent home.
Yeah.
I don't know how it would have played out had it been Tom Brady. But I think any other person, they would have been sent home. I think it was a tool, an example.
It could be.
And you know what? Adelis asked me as a media member. He said, don't be 2020. Don't say after Sunday what you think of it. I don't like it because of the players involved.
I know this is going to
surprise
everybody.
It was Tom Brady and Kevin Falk, I think it would have been fine. There's players involved here. I don't know how they're going to react to this, what direction they're going to go. And one of them is the most important member of the offense.
If you don't like it today, don't like it after Sunday.
I don't like it today, and after they beat the Panthers 31-13, I still won't like it.
That's fair. That's fair.
I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I know that probably surprises you. I think you're right. I think the point that you're making about talking to Belichick, I think, is dead on. I think I don't have any problem with Adelis Thomas talking to the media. That's the only thing I think we disagree with. But I think he should be also talking to his head coach. I think you're right about that.
You know how that is.
No, but I think
you're as stubborn and as pig-headed as anyone.
Me, absolutely.
You should talk to Fred. Paul, you should talk to Fred. You'd say, well, if he wants to talk to me, he can come talk to me. He knows where my office is.
You know my whole thing.
That's how it would play out. I know it.
You know the whole thing that happened to me with the Herald. And I kept, when the Herald job opened up again, and I said, well, if they know where I am, they'll call me. But you know what? I called them.
Right.
Because at some point you do the right thing, whether or not you're pig-headed and stubborn.
Yeah.
And I agree with Fred. I think that's the right thing. I don't have any problem with what Adelis Thomas just did for 8 minutes in the locker room. He's upset. He thinks he's being targeted. He thinks he's being scapegoated. I know that's what he thinks.
Oh, no question.
And he wants to make sure, hey, listen, we've lost 3 out of 4. Don't put this on me. I'm not the only guy not playing well.
Yeah, see, I kind of do. I mean, I see what you're saying, but I kind of do have a problem.
But you have a problem with guys talking to the media.
I do. On this team.
It's part of the job.
That's kind of the rules of this team. You're either with us or you're against us.
I think Adelis Thomas feels like he's against us.
The problem with is we don't have, and we'll get into this conversation, we don't have the Rodneys and the Teddies to back it up.
Exactly.
You know, and that's the problem.
And that's why Bill's doing this, because Go back to Denver. He doesn't trust this team. He doesn't know what he has in terms of leaders, locker room, everything. Go back to Denver. After, you know, they're benching guys. He's making these decisions that I don't think he would have made with all these veterans that he could count on.
Well,
regardless, I think if he was 7-5 and had all those old guys in there, it would be treated
differently. All right, let's take a step back. I'll take what you're saying and say I don't think he would have to make these decisions. Let me rephrase that. I don't think he believes he would have had to make these decisions if he had Brewski and Harrison.
Right.
But like you said, he doesn't trust his team now.
He doesn't know what he has.
He doesn't have the guys to back him up. So he's got to become the all-supreme, omnipotent leader right now. And that's it. It's my way or the highway.
Isn't this really an extension of our whole thing from the offseason that we've continued on? Is he stretched too thin?
Right.
I mean, not only he's dealing with running the offense and defense a little bit more than probably he would like, but now he's dealing with more discipline issues than
he would like.
He would like,
and right. Because he doesn't have that veteran
council. Because he doesn't have, as Brady said yesterday, you know, Bill does a pretty good job of policing that locker room. Well, I don't think he had to.
Right.
In the last, 6 or 7 years.
Well, Dean Pease said it the other day. If you have leaders, it takes care of itself. If you don't, that's where coaches step in.
Right.
And
right.
Bill's having to step in more.
Yeah.
I think more often with more impact.
I think one of the problems has been some of the guys that are, you know, ready to assume those roles aren't all Brewski, Harrison, Vrabel, Seymour types that don't mind leading with their mouths.
Yep.
You know, they lead with the example. Like Rodney Harrison is here at 6 o'clock in the morning lifting in a famous story.
Right.
But he also isn't afraid to light a fire under someone's butt and tell them what they should or shouldn't be doing.
Including Tom Brady.
I think Gerard Mayo is a guy who does the work part of it, but might not necessarily, as Dean Pease said, be comfortable with
it. But it's not just in the locker room, it's in the media. I don't know if you read Teddy Brewski. He said the media is a tool for a leader. He said it point blank, point number 3 of his 5 or whatever in the post game from last week on ESPN. And I would urge people to read it because it's, again, good stuff where, you know, forever it was ignoring the media. The media doesn't. He said he was on the record saying he used as a leader the media.
Amen.
He would get messages out there through the media that would have a great impact on the internal team. And there's not guys right now willing, able, capable of doing that.
Right.
I think Brady did it.
Right.
I think Brady used the media. And,
right.
and Brewski agreed. He said
Brady
he targeted
the
them.
Sure.
But Sunday. Maybe Gerard Mayo needs to be saying that.
Yeah.
Or maybe
and that's
whoever.
Why, and that's
well, maybe,
why,
you know, instead of Randy Moss doing a post game, bring out Gerard Mayo.
But that's
but
part
you can't
of it.
Force him up there
what
if
did Gerard Mayo
do?
Say after the game, Fred? You know, what was the comment that he made to you? Well, we did a pretty good job of stopping
right.
the run.
Yeah, that's not.
That's not what you're looking for. That's not using the media the way you want
which
to.
Which, for him, if he's going to say stuff like that, then
don't
talk.
Out there, right?
Which is, he didn't talk yesterday. He didn't really talk today, except
he
Karen
did talk
grabbed
a little.
Him.
I talked to him for a quick second.
He, if you're not comfortable doing it, you can't force yourself to do it because you'll make mistakes.
Yeah.
Now, the thing that's the point that I, you know, the one part I disagree with you about, and I agree with Teddy. I think that you can use the media to get your message out. I don't think that's a bad thing to talk to the media. And I'll tell you, to back up Andy's point about what Teddy's talking about, there were a few guys, very, very few guys, that were you absolutely had to get after a game.
Right.
And Teddy Brewski was one of them. I didn't care about talking to him from Wednesday through Friday.
Right.
Because it was all cliche after cliche. But on Sunday, after a game, Teddy Brewski was top of the line. He gave you his emotion.
Right.
And he gave you his thoughts and feelings. I now knowing what he wrote now and thinking back and listening to some of those post-game rants, remember the Colts one, the mm-hmm. famous Colts one, you know, we got what they want. You know, I had the ball in my hands and we took this and they can change all the rules and we,
right.
you know, they
right.
can do whatever they want. That's that. You don't think that was the mentality of that team?
That's right.
Talk about using
right.
the media.
Right.
What did the media end up start writing all the time now, Fred? Well, the Colts changed the rules. And,
right.
You know, and the Colts are soft and that fed on the Colts, that war in the Colts until they finally got rid of, they dusted that image once and for all in the second half of that 2006 AFC Championship game. But that rant was in 2003.
And if you remember in the feature I did with Poley and Belichick, Vic Carucci said, you know, Bill Belichick would have you believe that the Colts changed all the rules because of Poley, but he's influenced plenty in his own way behind the scenes. So he used the media in that case as a
exactly.
as an image.
That's why I think.
But that's but
you gotta
now
be
we
smart.
Now we come full circle and we come back to Adalys Thomas, who was using the media today. What was he using the media
right.
for?
I think for the
for
wrong
himself.
Reasons.
And well, but
selfish
he didn't hide
reasons.
It. Did he hide
reasons.
It?
No, he didn't.
He said I want. And it was being portrayed that
right.
I wasn't here. People didn't know why. Whatever.
Right.
I mean, well, right. why are you pointing at me and yelling at me?
You know what the best way he could have handled this? you know, and again,
good job, Doc, by the way, covering up the word that came after S-H-I blank.
Which, you know, and you were right in saying that it was soft. It was really soft, and you couldn't really hear it except for the fact that you bleeped out the next word,
right,
which caused attention to it.
Right.
I don't give a
There's another one of those guys that probably shouldn't have talked to the media.
We had that one yesterday. They played as the open of the Wine Line.
Tell Bill.
That Corey Dillon one. I forgot how good that one was. Remember you had that one in your recorder for a long time.
I may still.
Can you sing a little song that you sang on the big show yesterday?
Yeah, I heard Paul was singing yesterday on the big show.
I heard you were singing.
I don't remember.
I heard the only reason Paul was on the big show with Butch Stearns was because the two regulars called in.
Late cancellation.
They had to call Paul and Butch.
Wow.
What was I singing?
I heard a parody to The Wheels on the Bus.
Oh, the wheels of the bus are falling off, falling off.
The rats are jumping off the ship. Unbelievable.
But that wasn't pertaining to the Patriots, by the way.
It was the Red Sox?
That was the Red Sox.
I turned on for about 10 minutes, and, I mean, this Red Sox talk, it's ridiculous.
Well,
it's the same thing over and over.
The Patriots guy and the guy without a job talking Red Sox.
Well, I said to Fred today, too, and we were talking about this during the show, because we were kind of trying to steer it toward the Patriots with the Randy Moss thing. Glenn was trying to make a big deal out of the Randy Moss thing.
What do you mean make
home.
A big deal?
He was, like, he kept talking about it. Every break that we came back.
He hadn't talked to Fred yet about what.
No.
How we're going to paint this.
And I think that we didn't get a lot of Patriots calls, despite, and I know Glenn likes to say, they're not talking about it, so we're just going to talk about Tiger Woods or whatever he wants to talk about.
Right.
I think there were repeated efforts to steer it toward the Patriots. We just didn't get a lot of calls. And I said to Fred, you know what, it's an indication to me is that there's not a lot of confidence that, you know, this team is going to be a dangerous team in the playoffs. Right now, Patriots fans, I think, don't necessarily think this is the kind of team.
We're seeing who the true fans are.
If they rip off four in a row.
Craig in South Carolina, are you there?
No, but it'd be interesting to know from
even Fred, it's taking now an extra day and a half to round. Usually by Tuesday at noon, he's back. He wasn't back this Tuesday.
But, you know, it'd be interesting to see from our listeners, because you guys and Eric have said that you've talked to.
that was very subconsciously well done.
You guys and Eric have said that you've talked to the everyday fan who said that they think that this is going to hurt the team, that it was the wrong thing to do. I've talked to people who said it was absolutely the right thing to do. We like it when Belichick lays down the hammer. I'd like to hear.
Did
what
you
our,
exit Gillette Stadium for these conversations?
I'd like to hear what our listeners have to say, whether or not, you know, they approve of this type of disciplinary act by Belichick, or they think it was the wrong time, wrong method to do
it. I approve of it.
That's two different things. Right. I 1,000% approve of the disciplinary action.
You do?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't agree.
Guys were late for a meeting.
Well,
you have rules.
See, well, do you? Do you have rules, and then the rules change this week?
I can only go by what I know.
Eric and Andy were not saying that today. They thought that this was the wrong thing.
I think it was the wrong move.
Then I'll be your point on your side.
I'll tell you next week, this week, and through the end of the season, it was the wrong move. I don't care if Randy Moss catches 40,000 passes for 6,000 yards.
What if Adalys Thomas has 4 sacks this week and plays the best game of his career?
I'm still going to say I thought it was the wrong move. I wouldn't have done it, and that's why Bill is the coach and I'm not.
Okay.
I don't necessarily think.
You know, among
other
things.
Yeah, but you'll have to admit I wouldn't have done it, but it was the right thing to do.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think if I can only go by what I know, and what I know is that the guys showed up late yesterday and were disappointed.
Right, we don't know.
I think you have to have rules.
You do have to have rules, and they have to be enforced, and they have to be fairly, you know.
Now, what I would disagree with is if the rule is normally, as Christian Fourier talked about, and I think Ted Johnson talked about, when they played, it was a fine.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden he's sending them home.
Right.
Well, that might be different.
No, I also want to ask
that's
you.
That's why I think there had to be a
this hasn't happened
this.
Prior to this day, this year.
This wasn't.
You know how we know that? Because all four guys appeared on their practice participation report as not injury-related, missed it.
Right.
And as far as we know.
We've never seen that before.
And we've seen Moss every Wednesday that he's appeared that way.
Right. So if they sent, pick any name you want, Kyle Arrington, if he was late and they sent him home, he would have been on the injury report. I mean, practice report, did not participate, non-injury-related.
I would guess that this is the first time he's taken that drastic a measure. But like I said earlier, there had to be a buildup to this. I can't believe it was an irrational.
But you think it's a buildup on the player side.
Team. Not these four guys.
But I think it's a buildup of guys blowing coverages, being 7-5. I think it's a compilation of the season.
I know, but what if on Sunday after the game, you know, or the last time he talked to them before. What he said, look, we got to get this together. I need everybody here on time this week. Nobody's late. I really need you guys to. And then the first time they have a team meeting on Wednesday morning, four guys are late.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good hypothetical.
F this. Go home. I begged everybody on Sunday. This is a big week. We need to get it together. And the next thing I know, screw the snow. Leave early. You know, maybe that could have happened. It could be as simple as that. You know what I mean?
That's very plausible.
I think that's a good hypothetical.
What if he sent them home and one of them got in a car accident yesterday?
Oh,
because the weather was bad.
just
then what?
Doc,
this is why you don't talk.
But I think also Adela seems also fixated on he called. Yeah. He was the guy that called.
Right.
And that's what we were told to do if there's a problem, we're not going to make it. And right. he feels like he did as he was told, which he says, that's all I do. I do as I'm told.
Right.
And was penalized for it.
Right. Who do you call? Who do you think that, you know, like you know, Belichick?
I don't think it's Bill.
Bill is AD.
He's probably one of the guys there.
Yeah, one of the ops guys or something.
But, yeah, I mean, look.
I don't have a problem with the discipline action, yeah. Freddie. I'm with you. I think if they broke a rule, they got to get punished.
That Bill just said, look, that's enough.
But is that okay?
If it was specifically to light a fire, though, and you're looking to try to get it.
Well, it might work with Guyton, and it might work with.
I don't like that.
Now let's forget about Adalis and the defensive guys. One of the concerns,
I have. The only guy I'm worried about is number 81.
One of the concerns you and a lot of other people have is the fragility of Randy Moss.
Yes.
What will this do to Randy Moss?
No idea.
How does he take it?
I got to tell you what I would do, personally.
Yes.
If this was all, Kevin Faulk would be involved for me. Because Kevin Faulk is very friendly with Randy Moss.
Yes.
They have a tight relationship.
They wear the same type of sunglasses. Yep.
What?
Kevin Faulk, they
wear similar sunglasses.
Would Kevin Faulk have to be in my pocket as Bill?
Yes.
I would need him as my...
He's my guy.
Head Indian,
yep.
To use Adalis Thomas's terms, to make sure Randy Moss... I mean, you think Tom Brady could be... I think it's Faulk, because I think he's as tight with Moss as almost anyone.
I'll buy that.
So I would... He would have to be on board with this for me. I would need his help.
And
because I think left to his own...
yesterday.
He
said
did.
The right things.
He did. Well, for the most part.
I wanted to ask you if you heard him yesterday.
I listened to like half of it.
I read what he said, and I agree with Fred. If you just read it, it's all the right things. But I think there seemed to be some tension there.
Which one? Give me like a quote. And
someone said something about a sense of urgency.
None.
Yeah, none.
That was right. No. That wasn't
depending
anger.
On how it came
no, no, no.
out.
It
okay.
was said as basically we have sense of urgency every week. We're a one game at a time team.
Okay.
The
so
only thing we need to do
those,
is go out and practice
right
like
things.
We do every week, fix the mistakes from the week. That's yeah. The nun kind of caught me off guard when I first heard
when
it.
When I read it, I was like,
the way he
whoa.
Said it was not that way. But I just think left to his own, I think Moss, you never know where he's going to go.
I agree with that.
Turn your mic on.
I agree with that.
I mean, he has a history of his emotion could lead.
I would have strong concerns about
even
Moss.
Here. I'm not even going back to Oakland or Minnesota. When Tom Brady got hurt, Randy Moss admitted he went in the tank. He was an emotional wreck. He lost his binky. He didn't know what to do. And he pulled himself out of it, or somebody helped, or, you know, Castle threw deep to him, whatever it was. Well, I think Kevin Faulk might be needed to call into play here. He's a former captain, and I think he needs to act like one this week.
He's not a captain anymore?
No, just Moss and Brady, right? It's Moss, Brady,
yeah.
Mayo, Wilfork, Aiken.
Yeah, there is a lot of stuff, not just in the Patriots, but every pro team that happens over the course of a year that we just don't find out about.
Well,
fights,
I'll tell
arguments.
You a little story somebody told me this morning. Somebody who used to work for another team and was tight with the coach came in one day and said, just so you know, I may lose the team tomorrow. Because he was going to undress them in their Wednesday meeting. It had reached the point in the season, maybe like this week with Bill Belichick, and he knew he was at a crossroads. He was either rallying
right.
the troops
right.
or it was over.
Right.
And that happens, and we never know about it.
Right.
And,
that's
you know,
right.
we might see the results, and we all, you know, when we're doing our little Thursday picks,
yeah.
oh, they're 0 for their last yeah. three. He's lost. Dick Geron lost the team.
Right.
It's over. But it happens so often, and you don't know. I mean, literally, it's the guy who's 9 minutes late.
Right.
The season may change because
right.
that guy was 9 minutes late.
And that's why, like, you know, a lot of people said, oh, he's going to lose the locker room by doing this, by taking this rash action. My feeling at this point, if the locker room's that close to being lost because of this, then it doesn't matter.
But don't you think beyond this, weren't we at that point on Sunday before this happened? Weren't we talking about leadership void, direction? all of a
right.
fight,
so maybe now Belichick
mental
is
toughness.
Saying, you know, again, look,
I'm he's thinking I can't
here.
Make it any worse. I can
right.
only make it
I'm
better.
I'm the leader here.
That's
gonna...
all fine and dandy for the other three. I get back to number 81 again.
Right.
He's not just the present. Well, he's next year. He's.
Oh, let's hope number 33 can talk to number 81 and with a little help from number 12.
Or this is all going to turn to number 2.
It's going to turn to Doug Flutie?
I think
yes. Doug Flutie is a synonym for the word I was using.
Yeah, there's definitely concerns about Moss. I don't see how you cannot have concerns.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're making a big deal of this. We might
what
look
are you
back.
Do?
This is going to be in your four games to glory when the turning point of the season happened in a snowstorm
right,
in Foxborough.
See, people think
while
Brady
I think
only
that would be overrated.
Now. He's got three.
What?
People think that Brady only has two kids. He's got three.
Randy Moss.
Right.
I think that would be overrated.
It'd be funny if Moss just walked in. You know what? I've been listening to this crap for a year and a half.
Yeah.
It's go time.
Great game, I still love him.
Of course you do. Right up until the point he peels off the jersey and the sticker.
Then I won't like him.
And they release him.
I do want to point that out. I am under the belief they cannot in any way release Adalys Thomas because
right,
I believe
get,
there would be
a little,
over a $7 million acceleration, and I can't see how they'd have $7 million of free cap space right now at this point in the season.
Right.
So they'd have to wait till this season's over.
Right.
At which point, yeah, then you can do it. It's an uncapped year, which I think we all kind of expect.
Yeah, and it's not anywhere near as damaging next year, right? It would be the fourth year of his deal. So it was a 5-year deal he signed, right? So even if it weren't an uncapped,
the acceleration will be the same.
Yeah, but it's not.
Yeah, but
as
it would
bad.
Go down to 4+, right?
No, it'll be $7.2 million or whatever.
No, if you do it next year,
all the acceleration is the prorated
right prorated bonus
right, and they're for next year and the year after.
Isn't that the difference of 3 years and 2 years?
No.
Oh, I thought it would be.
The acceleration is the acceleration. It's the remaining
no,
beyond
yeah,
this
what's
year.
Remaining, but after this year, there'll be less remaining, right?
No, because the remaining is for 10 and 11. And 10 and 11 still exists after
oh,
9.
Oh, so you're saying that...
He signed a 5-year deal.
Okay, so you're counting this year has already been paid. You're only
well,
counting...
he's already on the cap for this year. So the acceleration, the part that's reined in from the previous year...
So he's still owed $7 million of guaranteed in 10 and 11.
Well, he's not owed it. He got it.
He got it.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's still on... Yeah.
Basically, I don't know the exact numbers, but yeah.
Okay. It was my understanding that there would be no math.
So, that's a big bonus.
So he got $15 million up front?
He got somewhere in there with it might even be more than that, with a couple roster bonuses tweaked in. And
well, a roster bonus wouldn't be prorated.
Well, whatever. He got bonuses. I don't know what he got, but...
Where are you getting this from?
Don't you worry about it. No, well, if you remember, he was essentially handed... I mean, it was kind of a Seymour-like contract.
No,
where
they
a lot of
up
it was,
the truck.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I don't know.
I thought he actually got more than that. I thought he got $20 million in guaranteed.
But guaranteed is not necessarily stuff that you would eat in the fourth year of a contract.
I know, but some of it is.
But it sounds like all of it is.
I don't know the exact numbers. I'm just... That's... The research I've done.
Well, I mean, I think we can all agree he wouldn't.
But
be
the
getting,
acceleration
not
is the same either
anyway.
Way. Well, I think they would have. I think they would have considered it personally.
I'm not sure.
I think
sure.
they would.
Who
have.
Plays?
Who cares?
I think
he
Bill
told
does.
Me that Rob Ninkovich is interchangeable with Adalys Thomas, so Ninkovich plays more. He said that. He said those guys are interchangeable.
Speaking of Moss and Falk, Scott from Atlanta sends us a picture of Randy with at a race with Kevin. And Scott's in the picture. He says he's the white guy. but he sends us a picture, and he says that they are very tight.
Is it a Moss race? Was this one of Moss's
It's a NASCAR
trucks?
Spring 2009. So
truck?
I don't know what it was.
Okay, sorry.
But he's claiming that
he gets mad.
They are very tight.
They are
and
definitely
we know
They're
that.
Just irritating everybody tonight, Andy.
We've seen them on road trips. They're always close, you know.
And in the locker room, they spend hours.
In the locker room,
hours,
they spend a lot of time together.
Hours just sitting and hashing things out.
Matter of fact, Randy has run me away from Kevin Falk's locker a lot because I spend a lot of time talking to Kevin.
Right.
And then when Randy comes down, I don't feel all that comfortable anymore, so I leave.
That's why you're a bad reporter. No offense. But maybe that's your in, and all of a sudden you'd be Randy's go-to guy because, hey, if Kevin likes him, I like him.
Yeah, I don't want him to make fun of me for being the white guy in the picture.
All right.
Scott said.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, Mike from Puerto Rico is on the phone.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun and back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio, back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines, back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football. Three Super Bowl championships. Endless memories. Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' three Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, three out of four. Yes, it's a dynasty.
And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehallatpatriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
Patriots, PFW in progress.
All right, back here in Gillette Stadium, talking about everything that went on yesterday.
What do we call this? Home gate? Go home gate?
Snow gate? We're probably making too big a deal about it.
Probably,
anyway.
You think?
Yeah.
I don't hear
it. Put on your mic.
Sorry about that.
Oh, that hurts more when Fred has
it. Fred just had to tell me to turn on my mic.
Mike's on the phone, but before we get the mic, email from Josh yesterday. Now, I guess Eric did a show with Shalise, who was the person who broke the whole go-home gate.
Good get. Go-home gate.
And Josh writes in, you guys should find a way to get Shalise Manza Young involved with Patriots.com radio more often. She's very solid. Obviously, Eric really likes working with her. They do well together. Any of you guys catch the final few minutes of Playbook yesterday where Acra came in? It was excellent. A reference to a threesome was dropped, and Doc said, where is Andy when I need him? To which Acra responded with complete disdain. Obviously, Andy is a real charmer with the ladies. Pretty sure Acra threw up in her mouth a little just at the mention of his name. Classic.
No, I think it was at the mention of the whole topic.
Yeah, I think it was the threesome that
Eric was very
great show yesterday, Eric. I know originally he was seeing his move to Playbook as some sort of exile, but I really think he and Shalise should have a show of their own. All the hooky Rook has been playing this season has really given Eric a chance to come into his own. Not sure what to call it or anything, but I could easily listen to those two for an hour a day or maybe a little more.
Well, Fred told you what it's called.
Rook and the Queen?
The Rook and the Queen.
Josh from
what
Arlington,
if it's Shalise
Virginia.
And Eric?
We do have audio from that, one. Though. Why don't you play some of that audio?
Eric, you're outnumbered now. Estrogen.
I absolutely love it.
Girl power.
There's another lady in the room.
I know.
Yes. What's going on?
This is great.
Has this ever happened before?
There's for me?
Like more women than...
No. Sadly.
Where's Andy when I need him?
Oh, geez.
All right. Mike, it's on the phone. Mike, how you doing?
That was hilarious. I hadn't heard that before.
That was a good one by Eric. To me, sadly, no.
Yeah.
I am very, very worried, if that's the word to be using, that could be used. Is this PFW in progress, right?
Yes.
Right. Well, you think you're calling the EEI?
I'm talking about praying for wins in progress.
Wow.
No? Okay.
Okay. That's all right.
My bad.
Are you really worried? Do you think there's a chance?
Yes. I'm not even going to let you finish. Yes.
Wow.
I'm very concerned. By 10 points, and I would not be worried in the fourth quarter because I know we've come back in at the end of the game. Now it's a point where we're up by 10 points, and I'm worried that we're going to lose the game.
I think he's right.
Well, that's just because
what happens. Well, it's interesting because Reese did those figures that we were talking about since 2000, and it's like 100 and a million to two of after leading – going into the second half with a lead, the Patriots' record is like a million to in two. They've only lost two games.
I'm glad you actually read the numbers and came up with like 100 million in two.
But it's everything to two. They've only lost twice with a lead going into up until this year.
Yeah. Right.
Twice? Miami?
No. Before this year.
No. Before this year, Mike.
Oh, before this year. Yeah. Okay. But this year, at least three times, right?
Every time.
Four of the losses came when they were leading at half.
That's right.
Four out of the five losses, they were leading at half.
The only one we were blown out of was the Saints game. Everything else, we were leading going into the fourth quarter?
Yes, that's correct.
No, the second half. They weren't leading in the
fourth
quarter.
Not the fourth quarter, second half.
Of the Jets game. Three times they were leading in the fourth quarter, though.
Are we giving up on the running game too early? I mean, I've been seeing, and I haven't heard you guys in a while. I haven't downloaded. I heard this morning one of the podcasts after the Broncos game. That's how far behind I am.
Lord.
But because I want to listen to all of them. I don't want to skip any because it's such great entertainment.
It's an ongoing serial. You have to do that.
But the thing is, I'm seeing progress from Maroney. I'm seeing, you know, Sammy Moore is doing a good job. And Fred Taylor should be back any day now. I don't know, but he should be back any day now. And when we're leading these games, I mean, why aren't we just, you know, make them stop us on the running game? I see our biggest plays being off of play action. So if we're doing a good job running the game and we leave those play actions to the end of the game, it's just going to be the icing on the cake.
Well, I think you answered some of your own question by saying Morris is looking – he just got back, and Fred Taylor will be back. They didn't have those two guys for a long time, and – then there's the great debate of how much you want to give the ball to Lawrence Maroney, how much faith you have in Lawrence Maroney. But I think they're going to run the ball better down the stretch because of what you said. They're going to get two guys back that are good short yardage runners or good power runners or good kind of grind it out and kill the clock kind of guys.
Yeah, I think that where I agree with you, Mike, and Andy actually, is late in games, I think that they have gotten away from it a little bit. I don't think they've run it terribly effectively on a consistent basis all year, but I do think they pulled the plug on it too quickly. Often, and I think that they haven't really even tried to run clocks out. They've been winning these games, and they're trying to win the game by throwing the ball all the time. I don't mind throwing the ball for a first down on third and eight, but it seems like they always try to throw it to get those first downs. They never try to run it three times to get the first down, and, you know, I think maybe they should do it, and I think part of that might be the banged-up nature of the offensive line, too. I mean, that can't be helping mm-hmm. matters.
And I'm just getting overly concerned, to be honest with you, with the fact that all these, and I know this is what Belichick, you know, he lives and dies with this, but all those fourth down calls, they're just killing me. I mean, every single time, I mean, we could be getting points on the board that the offense game. I know there was a fourth down where we were like, what, at the inside the 10-yard line? We went for it. We didn't get it. And that was 3 points. And, I mean, I know it changes the whole outcome of the game, but if you put everything in perspective, we lost by 8 points.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, Miami would have to couldn't have just settled for a field goal. They would have had to go in for a touchdown, and I like our chances that way. Same thing with the Indianapolis game. We went for the fourth down, and then it killed us. And I'm pretty sure you might correct me if I'm wrong with the Broncos game. I'm pretty sure there was a fourth down in there somewhere that wasn't that might have cost us some points. So I don't know. I hear Bill Simmons' podcast all the time, and he's talking about how worried are you. From 1 to 10, I'm like a 7.5, close to 8 right now. That's how worried I am. We could have really gotten some distance between ourselves and the rest of the AFC East.
I might have to take your shoelaces away from you, Mike.
Oh, believe me. And, just to shoot something out to you guys, I don't know if you've talked about this at all, we know we're lacking at a receiver, just a receiver. And I did my research on the internet, and I see that Rashay Caldwell isn't playing anywhere. He's not. I mean, he used to be our number one receiver 2 or 3 years ago, and he obviously gets the offense because he caught what 60, 70 passes or something like that. He's only like 30 years old. Wouldn't that be somewhere we might be looking into?
He's only 30 years old. I don't know about
that.
That was
4 years ago.
Yeah.
That he played for.
I mean, at this point, Mike, I really think that we've got what we're going to have. And
3 years ago.
This is it. You know, I don't think they're going to get anybody off the street that's really going to help them this year. So we got to be content with what we have and figure out how we can win with the roster that we've got right today.
I don't know, man. I guess that's what you call when you get a divorce. What do you call it? I'm accustomed to this lifestyle. And you gotta make arrangements so I can maintain it. They got me spoiled into, you know, 10, 11, 12 wins a year and, you know, putting games away in the fourth quarter. And now, I mean, they gotta bring the lifestyle back up again, because I honestly, my wife was you were saying about the shoelaces, my wife was sticking away sharp objects and stuff like
sure,
that.
Yeah.
She's actually talking about padding up the living room.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad.
All right, well, we just gotta hang with each other.
Who are you kidding, Mike? Your wife was giving you sharp objects.
Yeah, oh, thank you. If push comes to shove, we'll find a bunker. Me, Craig, John in L.A., and all those people. We'll stick it through, but, you know, go Pats.
All right. That's Mike in Puerto Rico. You know, Reese did another thing. He took all the fourth down tries over the years. And this year they're running a little ahead in terms of attempts, but the percentage of making it is about 50%. Whereas, you know, when they're doing it well, it's like up to 70-80%.
Which is what it should be on fourth down.
On fourth down, right.
Fourth down, people confuse that a lot with third down.
Right.
It's not the same thing.
No.
Because third down counts everything.
Every time you go for fourth down, it's like
fourth
and
inches
or something like that.
Right. There's only late game, especially for the
Super Bowl.
Especially for the Patriots.
Right.
Who aren't normally in desperate situations late in games to have to go for it on fourth and 10. You know, so they don't generally have to do that.
Right.
And I looked at that this year, Freddie. Out of the 16,
yeah,
we counted, Andy and I counted, there were four, I believe, that were longer than 4 yards.
Yeah.
Out of the 16 tries. So 50% is not that good.
Right. It isn't. And that's the problem. It's not, you know, people say, oh, they're doing it too much. They're running a little ahead of pace, but not much. It's the making it.
See,
that's the problem.
But I think that's hand in hand. I think you're not making it enough, but you're going for it too much because you're not making them.
Yeah.
I think you're allowed to go for it a lot more when you're getting them all the time.
Yeah.
But at some point, I think you need to change the style that you use because,
as
we've said all year, this isn't the same team as those teams, and
you
have to recognize that.
You know,
the field goal on Sunday would have been valuable. Again, I was wrong. I was with Andy. We both said it at the time. I'd go for this one.
Yeah,
but
so
I think we were wrong, not because they didn't get it, because the way the game unfolded.
Right.
Teddy Bruschi also criticized that in one of his five.
Well, you know, even Bill says, like, after the third drive or something like that, you kind of get a. It might even be earlier than that. You kind of get a sense of how the game's going to go.
Right.
And if he did get a sense of how the game was going to go, then he made the wrong move.
Yeah.
But I got a sense that the game wasn't going to go the way it went.
I thought
the sense I got was
I know.
I was with
the scores.
That's why I was with them.
I
thought I just didn't think the Dolphins were going to be capable of putting up that kind of offense.
But by this point, you got to know
my
offense tends to sputter.
If I were the coach when asked about that, I would have said, I didn't get the feeling that this was going to be a field goal game that was going to be, you know, a one-point victory and it was going to be 22-21. The feeling I had was we were going to hit some big plays, score a number of points today, and if anything, it was going to be a shootout.
You're going to make Miami, keep up.
I would have. I mean, that's the reasoning I had at the time.
Yeah, I was wrong.
And he might have, too. Well, I mean, he'll never tell us.
Well, he'll never admit it, either.
Ed from Cranston says, I've noticed that a lot of spectators are questioning whether or not the Patriots are among the elite teams of the NFL. I personally believe elite is a title that is earned through continuous progress, hard work, and dedication. The four players that were late yesterday proves to me that the dedication is not there. The amount of yardage allowed against our pass defense and our inability to break any defensive line with our running game shows me that as hard as the team tries, it is not hard enough. Finally, from the look on Brady's face after throwing a second interception of the game against Miami, shows that this late in the season, there is not forward progress or confidence amongst the players. I hope for the best for the team, but I would not classify the Patriots as an elite team this year.
Nor would I.
I think we all agree with that.
Anybody would.
You got to. I mean, you know, what else can you say, right?
They're a fringe playoff team right now.
Tis what it is.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Alex says, Scavolino, your broadcast of the Patriots playbook sucked. Why are you talking about your music likings and what you and your friends sing songs in different voices? No one cares about Cherry Cherry Christmas. And Fred, you suck too because you don't read emails. Paul, you are all right. Hail to Andy, spokesman of the people.
Wait a minute.
Andy is the man of the people. Just ask him.
The day four players were sent home and you had the reporter who broke the story, Eric was talking about his musical interests.
Right.
I mean, sure.
I don't know. Everybody else is saying he did a good job.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't buy it.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. On the phone is Orlando from Springfield. Orlando, how you doing?
Not too bad, fellas. My heart just, like, stopped for a second. Correct me if I'm wrong. Did I just hear this dude ask if Rasheed Caldwell would come back?
Right.
Yeah, he did.
That's the point fans have reached. They're searching for answers, and they think that's a positive one.
I'd rather come up with another question. That guy was horrible.
Me too.
I'd rather quote a bottle of Sam Aiken.
I don't want Rasheed Caldwell back here ever.
Yeah, me either.
You know what? Ban him from calling this show.
Oh, poor Mike.
That's just bad. Anyway, listen, fellas, quick question there. I just wanted to know if you guys can shed a little light on the whole thing with this collective bargaining agreement. I've heard that, you know, we're going into an uncapped year, and I read somewhere something about the that they want to get rid or greatly reduce revenue sharing. So I just kind of wanted to get your opinions on that.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's what there's two kind of revenue sharing, and what they're talking about right now is they're going to abandon the supplemental revenue sharing. This is like the other things that the owners share with the union. And there was a clause that they put in the last agreement that just kind of got them to where they are now. It was like a stopgap agreement that added to the pie, I guess. And it was kind of like okay, we'll throw this bonus to the players.
Right.
And we'll add some things that used to not be shared, and now we'll share them. But now they want to take those things back. You know, and it's part of, you know, posturing, you know, leading up to the big negotiations that are coming up, right? But the big thing right now is it's not really between the players and the management. The union will tell you until the owners decide what they're going to do with each other, you know, and how they're going to share between them, they can't tell us what they want to share. You know, right now you've got the top five teams in the league, or it might even be more, but the top teams in the league actually give money to the bottom teams in the league. They actually, it's kind of like the luxury tax in baseball. And the top teams in the league don't like that because they feel like they do more work, they make more money, and they're supplementing these teams that don't try as hard. You know, so there's a lot of stuff that the owners need to get solved even before they decide, okay, how much is this revenue share going to be with the players? So it's really complicated.
I mean, in your opinion, I don't know, I'm just saying, like, from my opinion, from my vantage point, to me it seems like it works. The revenue sharing works. My biggest fear, right, is that we end up becoming what baseball has become, okay? Five or six teams, a handful of teams on the top, everybody else is just there to get their you know, their butts whipped every week, you know what I mean? You know, Kansas City Royals never had a shot. You know, the Expos, you know, never had a shot, you know. But it's always the Yankees, the Red Sox, and, you know, Angels, and, you know, the high-priced teams. What I love about the game of football is, especially since salary cap was instituted, everybody has a shot, you know what I mean? Everybody has an outside chance. You know? Somebody from Green Bay or from Kansas City who doesn't have, you know, maybe their teams don't have the deep pockets that a New York or we would have, they still have a shot of making a Super Bowl, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's the beauty of the NFL. I don't want to lose that.
I don't think you're going to lose that, because I think the main factor in that is the cash cow is the national TV contract that is divvied up among all the teams. That's a huge amount of money that's not revenue sharing. That's just we're all in the same business. All the games are on. They all get their check from that. And I forgot the exact number, but the portion of their revenue that comes from that check is huge. It's a massive check that all 32 teams get.
And
it's also
that DirecTV gives them like.
But that's what I mean. That's all national. Yeah. Whereas in baseball,
it's all
the national
evenly.
TV is minor compared to
compared
the local.
To football.
And
the
Expos didn't have TV, while the Yankees are getting millions and millions of dollars for local.
But the other part of it that makes
different.
It that the inequity of baseball is not necessarily revenue sharing because they have revenue sharing. It's the cap. And the Yankees, are, as Orlando pointed out, are able to spend so much more than the other teams. Now, we don't have to get into a baseball thing. It's the Kansas Cities of the world. It's their fault that they have the money and choose to pocket the revenue-sharing money and not invest it in the teams because they have no cap that makes them get up to the basement of the cap.
Right.
So there's no. That's why they don't want to have a salary cap because the cheap owners like Kansas City and Minnesota and some of those other teams don't want to have to spend a certain amount.
Huh. Okay.
But they do. They have revenue sharing in baseball. Yeah. But like Andy said, it's you're not dealing with a national television contract that's anywhere near
a lot
as profitable
as
the football one.
Right.
Does the NFL have a minimum amount that they?
Yes,
have
it does.
Yes, it does.
Oh, yeah.
You seem okay. Great. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that was just that's like my biggest fear. I don't want football to turn into what baseball's become. You know what I mean? You guys got to admit when you watch a game, it's like. You know, you're sitting there thinking to yourself, you know, every team has a shot to win on any given Sunday. I know it sounds cliche, but, you know, it's true.
And at least year to year, too.
Well, and when they don't,
but I don't.
And when they don't, it doesn't really have to do with money. It has to do with coaching or management, like the Raiders. I mean, it doesn't have to do with money necessarily. It's just that they're inept.
The Lions have spent plenty of money to lose.
I think you just said, I mean, we don't have to turn it into a baseball football thing, but I think Fred's right. It's ineptitude. There are plenty of teams that have been very successful in baseball that don't have, Minnesota, as much as I hate their ownership because they don't spend any money, they're there every year. Tampa Bay was in the World Series 2 years ago. They're like one of the lowest payrolls. The Marlins have won the World Series. They've had a different winner of the World Series, 8 out of 10 years of this decade. Football hasn't.
Right. And Tampa,
football,
you know,
it's the Patriots.
But I think it's
three.
Easier when you're handed a check for $60 million to start the year.
Over the last 10 years in the NFL.
No, I understand that. I'm saying
half your salary cap or three-quarters of your cap money, if you were to spend to it, would be paid for by the national TV.
My point that I'm trying to make is I think we overrate this whole thing that this team doesn't have any. The Kansas City Royals don't have any hope. Not because of the inequity and how much money they spend. It's because of they run poorly.
Right.
They would have a chance if they ran their operation successfully.
I think
the
it's
way
a combination.
Tampa Bay does.
Right.
And
right.
the way the Marlins have in the
they would
past,
have a chance
and the
to
way
make
Minnesota
short
runs. Does.
You know, I was
you take
I was
away your
at
safety.
This decade.
Yeah.
Long-term
you
success
can't make
is
mistakes.
Much more difficult.
Right. I was looking
no
at
question.
This decade. Other than the Baltimore Ravens and the Buccaneers, every winner has been either the Steelers, the Patriots, or the Colts. They all have
Giants.
In the Giants. But those three teams have one thing in common.
Multiple.
Bill Polian, excellent talent evaluator. Patriots have a good organization top down. And Steelers are good talent evaluators, too. You know, it's not the money. You can't pay. The Dallas Cowboys are, by and large, the top revenue team in the league by far. And they haven't won a playoff game in 15 years.
Yeah, but isn't that where it should lie, though? I mean, if you win a
championship. No, you're right, Orlando. I agree with you.
Yeah, right. Yeah. With the drafting. People the GM picks up free agents and coaching on the field, not, hey, my owner's got deep pockets.
But that's the way, to me, that's the way it is in baseball. The teams that draft the best and make the best moves, they win. It's not the team that has the most money.
Well,
except
for the Yankees.
This particular year it was. But the Yankees, that's their first World Series since 2000.
No, I know, but they're always in it. You know
they're always. But they haven't been always in it. This whole decade they've been down.
Well, they went down relative to what they've done.
Right.
But every team would love to be down like the Yankees are down.
Nope, nothing personal, guys, but I got to go with Fred on that one.
That's because he hates baseball.
I watch a lot of Red Sox, but I don't like baseball.
Good as always, man. Thank
All right.
You
See you, Orlando.
Take care.
Okay, hey, Doc's doing his job here. Larry Izzo on injured reserve. Too bad. Has a neck injury.
Can we voice analyze that too bad? Was that a...
No. Seriously, I like Larry.
He's
a pal of mine.
He's a pal of yours?
We talk about things. This was posted by...
What are you talking about? Shut up.
Curb Your Enthusiasm, movies.
So you still talk with him?
No.
Oh.
When he was here.
You said it in the present.
Although when we played in the New York in after the game, I said, hey, Larry, he's like, I'll catch up with you back in Foxborough. And then we never did. So,
hey, Larry.
Yeah.
Hey, lawyer.
This is interesting. This was posted by Michael David Smith on Pro Football Talk today at 10:45 this morning. And again, you got to read between the lines. Why is he saying what he's saying? New England Patriots coach Bill Belichick spent a great deal of time in his conference call with the Carolina media discussing Panthers defensive end Julius Peppers. And Belichick was effusive with his praise. He's a great player. I mean, he's one of the best players in the league, Belichick said. I have no problem saying that Julius Peppers is outstanding. But while Belichick says he thinks Peppers is great, he also says he knows nothing about off-season speculation that the Patriots might have been trying to acquire Peppers. I'm not sure exactly what you're talking about, Belichick said when a reporter asked him about that speculation. We didn't talk to Julius, and we couldn't talk to Carolina because he wasn't signed. I'm not really sure what you're referring to. I guess this wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be.
That's what he said way back. We had that audio, remember?
Yeah.
That was what he fixated on.
Right.
On EEI, he said... And
he can't talk to him.
Yeah.
I didn't get it then, and I don't get it
and
now.
And he went into his whole, you know, kind of the way it would work. He'd need to sign that thing. If he signs that thing, he went on that whole rant for like 10 minutes.
And again, I don't know the specifics of the rule, but I was always under the impression if a guy signed a franchise tag, that allowed him to negotiate with the other teams. And the guy was playing under a franchise tag, whether he signed, I mean, I didn't know
I
this
he
whole
had to
sign
it.
Thing.
He
I
couldn't
sign. Get.
If it wasn't signed, he couldn't.
That's what he said. But
right. And that's what everybody said. Because everybody said that to us at the Combine about Matt Castle.
First he has to
sign
the tag.
I know that's what everybody's saying. I don't know. You know.
I'm guessing it. Then that's the truth. I mean, if all these NFL personnel men are saying if it's unsigned, we can't, whatever.
Michael from Puerto Rico emails some proof that Rachelle Caldwell is 30. I said he had 61 receptions 3 years ago. Would not be a bad number four or even number three, as he does know the system has an obvious comfort level with Brady. Could release one of the 2,574 defensive backs we have on the roster to give an offense a boost.
What was the last year he played?
Let's see. 2007, 8 games with the Redskins.
Doesn't
started
that tell you
one.
Something?
Yeah. He started one
so
with
the year
Redskins.
After he caught 60 whatever passes for the Patriots.
Yeah, he caught 15 with the Redskins.
He was only good enough to last for 8 games the next season. He can't play.
So says Paul.
No, so says Rishay Caldwell.
No, so says
Aiken.
So says the rest of the National Football League.
TG and the NJ said that.
Sam Aiken, by the way, I've sort of been critical of the third receiver. Yeah. Sam Aiken has made more big plays in the 3 games that he's played receiver for the Patriots than Rishay Caldwell made that whole year.
I agree. He's terrible as a receiver. He's not a legitimate receiver. But were he in the Rishay Caldwell role, he definitely would have made more plays over 68 chances or whatever.
TG and NJ says that Caldwell played in the UFL this year.
Oh, boy. That league was littered with expatriates. Every game I watched it, I didn't even see him.
Brian says Chris McAllister.
If you never actually saw a league, did it exist?
Why, it's going out of business?
No, I never saw one game.
If a league plays in the forest, then no one's there to watch.
They lost $30 million, too, right?
What's $30 million here?
That's what Michael Hughes said. Whatever his
did
name
he?
Is. Yeah. Well, we expected that.
Brian in Baltimore says
that it was a terrible decision to start the league.
Chris McAllister was just released from the Saints for some reason. Could this guy be helpful this year to the secondary? And do you think Bill would even look at him?
Yeah, their guys came back. Jabari Greer came back healthy. That's why they released him.
No. Well,
the guy they signed off.
That doesn't answer the question.
The guy they signed off the street that I want.
He can't play.
He
played well against us.
Do you remember a play he made?
I don't remember him getting burned. Okay. I'll take it. What
if I told you he was covering Randy Moss on that 50-yard play?
That was a broken play.
He wasn't covering him. I don't know.
Okay.
Any idea.
He did nothing. I don't remember him doing
he
anything.
He didn't. Again. McKenzie's the one who made all the plays that night.
Michael in snowy Nova Scotia. I have to say I wonder what it would be if the Pats had moved up and drafted Percy Harvin. I believe they drafted right behind Minnesota. How close were they to taking Harvin with that first pick?
Well, Minnesota thought they were going to take him, right? Didn't they? Wasn't there?
Weren't we 23? What was our original spot in the first round?
Sounds accurate.
And Minnesota took Harvin at like 19, right?
Minnesota. Oh, there were comments out of Minnesota saying they got wind the Patriots were going to take him. If you remember that,
I was very intrigued by Harvin.
Oh, me too.
Coming out of the
draft,
as long
as he doesn't get
now,
hurt.
I'm not going to be a 20/20 hindsight guy. Say, that they blew it. That's the guy they should have taken. I was just intrigued by his skill set. I didn't know how much he could be strictly a wide receiver. Obviously, he's done a good job of that. But I thought as a guy that you want to get the ball in his hands and get out in space, as they like to say, he was a dynamic athlete. I would have taken a shot at that.
Sam in Chicago says, hey, guys, thanks for the show as always. Andy, nice job stumping AD with your question. But Adalis' snappy answer of the kindergarten analogy and how that doesn't motivate him basically says he doesn't respect Belichick's move to send him home. He held it together, deflecting questions until that kindergarten comment. I still think in the wake of the two ugly losses that the media is searching for something, anything. And like AD said, if the Pats pull out a win, a good win this Sunday, the significance of this event can be colored in Bill's favor or forgotten altogether. I really hope there's a December upsurge in performance to deflate this downhill bus so we can look ahead to the playoffs and not continue the witch hunt for who or what's doing the team in. Please, somebody step up and put the fire back in this team in a positive way.
Well, I don't know if we've been on a witch hunt.
Well, what do you think is the reason? or reasons. It's never that simple.
But I actually think we've been searching for the positive.
Well, that's what we do.
No. I think in general people have been searching for who is the leader going to be that steps up. Who is the... They're not saying who's the GOAT. We know what's not playing well, what areas are weak here. But I think people have legitimately been, who's going to step up? And
well, I think that's... But I think that comes because this is the team been left with no leaders, you know, and reviewing the... Look, we did it. We reviewed the personnel moves, what mm-hmm. put them in this predicament.
Yes, you've been very critical of that, Fred.
Well, yeah. No, they counted on Jason Taylor. They counted on Joey Galloway. They were bust. Sean Springs, bust. You know, we talked about all that.
Sorry, AD.
You know...
We didn't talk about that, by the way.
What's sorry,
that?
Sean.
Sean Springs
interjecting himself during the AD and saying, sorry, AD, and him going, sorry, Sean.
Yeah.
What make you of that?
I have a feeling that...
Two disgruntled veterans.
Maybe in the defensive thing, Dean Pease made Adalis or the guy stand up and apologize to their teammates, maybe. I don't know.
In his office, Dean Pease just said, hey, what'd I do? Why are you bringing me up?
No, I'm just saying, I don't know. At some point, somebody said sorry to somebody. That was made fun of.
I lean towards Paul's disgruntled veterans kind of thing.
Yeah, two disgruntled veterans.
Well, that happens on teams with guys that are not getting the playing time they think they should get. That happens at every team.
Especially when they're making a lot of money.
You know? Yeah.
Hasn't happened with James Sanders. I didn't hear him say, sorry, AD.
Well,
he's a professional.
That's
You'd
right.
like to have 53 James
that's
Sanders.
Right. That's
couldn't
right.
feel the team. But
I mean, unfortunately, you wouldn't be able to play offense or defense. You'd be able to play special teams.
Right. Emily says, Fred isn't the only one with diminishing skills. I haven't written in for a while, but don't worry. I haven't missed a show. I've been busy since graduating. However, I will try to make time to send cookies again soon.
Yes, because you have great cookies.
I've noticed that someone...
You didn't think I was going to say cookies, did you?
I noticed that someone's skills are diminishing besides Fred's, unless, of course, he reads this email. Then his skills are still spectacular.
Got to be mine. I'm done.
What happened to Junior? He was supposed to rally the troops, right? Is he giving speeches before the start of the game and then Adalis Thomas takes over the microphone at halftime? Whatever it is, he has clearly been a disappointment when it comes to veteran leadership.
That was great.
That is funny. Even Fred had a chuckle at that one.
Yeah, I think we might be missing the mark on that one. They're not losing because his speeches aren't as good. They're losing because they're not as good.
AD says, release AD. He sucks. He's becoming a cancer.
You can't release him, as far as I know.
I would just love to him to say, you know what, I'm going to play well this week.
I think he's trying to play well. I don't think he's been dogging it.
Then he's not that good.
That may be.
Yeah.
That could be the fact. He may have
but we've seen him better.
Ed Reed and yeah, with Ed Reed and Ray Lewis and
all those guys. No, we haven't.
We've been complaining about his lack of impact plays for 2.5 years of his three.
But we've seen flashes.
We saw like one flash. He made a pick and ran it back. What other flashes?
Right, and we've seen flashes this year too, where all of a sudden
they run an end around to Ricky Williams or whatever
he blows up one of those guys here or there.
Threw down Leon Washington and
if he didn't
Brett
get
Favre.
If he didn't get benched,
he's like
Tennessee.
Lawrence Maroney. I can list his great plays on one hand.
Lyndon from Colton, California. I know it was the right move for the defensive guys. I'm a little worried about how Moss is going to react to it. I can see the Randy from Oakland Raiders coming back. With this said, though, I realize Belichick can't give special treatment to Moss. I don't understand forlorn aura that Moss is giving off. He is leading the league in receiving yards, and Brady seems to be getting the ball to him whenever he can. I don't think Thomas will be here next year. Do you think he will be traded or just plain cut?
Cut, signed with the Jets, and you'll face him in week two in New York.
Because that's what we do. We play the Jets week two in New York.
And he'll be a pregame captain, and you should worry that he has 4 sacks.
And he might come out to the pregame coin toss with a whiteboard.
But
you
if that's
know.
The case, if he does that, is that just he couldn't do it in the Patriots system, or now he really wants to play hard?
I don't know. I think he's playing hard. I give him that credit.
Do you honestly think that he's not played hard?
I don't know, but there's something going on.
Had, but forget this year.
If he goes to another team,
we've complained about him for 2.5 years.
If he tanked it this year,
I've seen no difference in his game.
I don't think he tanked it the first couple of years. I think he loved being here for like the first year. Then he was wasted inside linebacker for a while, and just it all snowballed from there.
Sam in Chicago says, I have the answer to all of this. The whole team, coaches included, need to go out into the woods and play a full day of paintball. At the end of the day, line up the guys with the most paint on them, and then you have who's accountable for the team's failures.
No, what they need to do is Bill needs to stand right behind AD, and he says, AD, you fall back, I'll catch you, and see if he catches him. And then AD stands behind Bill and says, Bill, turn around. And then somebody help Bill off the floor because he wouldn't catch him.
Todd Porter says, is this guy a locker room cancer, AD? Here's a statement to get the team's attention. Cut this guy. It's not like he's an important part of the defense. AD spent too many years under the wings of Ray Lewis. He just doesn't get the fact that the rules apply to him. Richard Seymour wasn't allowed to start after missing for his grandfather's funeral. Seymour was enough of a man to channel his anger and have a monster game. Poor little AD gets his feelings hurt and curls up into a ball and cries to the media, what do you guys think?
Not that.
Paul doesn't think that.
Paul's scared of
me. I think it was the wrong thing to do. I think the right thing to do is confront the guy that you have a problem with.
I agree with you on that.
I don't think that's really an option in AD's head.
I think that this whole AD play thing is being drastically overblown now. I don't think there's been much of a difference in his game for the 3 years he's been here. I think he's been a disappointment for the money they gave him. I said that the last 2 years. That they didn't get a bang for the buck from this guy. But now all of a sudden he gets benched against Tennessee, and now he can't play.
Right.
Now Gary Guyton's a better player than he is.
Right.
Well, he's not. It's about expectations. Gary Guyton's an undrafted rookie free agent last year, and everybody thought he was great, myself included. He was a great, great story, great surprise. He hasn't made any more plays than Dalis Thomas has in the last 2 years. None. No more. One guy's making $30 million, and the other guy's making nothing.
Nick from Birmingham says, after the issue was raised to Bill yesterday that four players were sent home, I remember him saying that it was between him and the players. My opinion, I truly believe that disciplinary actions between players should be kept within the team, and if Thomas didn't do anything wrong by being late, I think he just got something wrong by bringing his version to the media. My opinion, AD even tried to portray Bill as a villain with words like, ask Bill, that's kindergarten stuff, and there's a lot of things that happen I don't understand. Bill may have been wrong, but taking it to the media is also wrong, and that's why I have a problem with AD. You want to know why AD is not playing up to his salary? He just showed us. He's a stubborn player. I hope he gets traded at the end of the season because he is overrated.
That could be true. I don't really agree with the rest of that crap, but he clearly has a stubborn streak.
Oh, yeah.
And there is a chance that his skills and what they ask of their players, as Paul says, setting the edge and all that crap, they might not marry up. That's a possibility.
I wonder how many of these people would
feel the same way if
they went to work and got sent home by their boss.
We actually posed that earlier.
If they would feel the same way.
Fred posed that. He wondered if I would go to the media.
Eric. You are the media.
I don't know.
You got a practice report?
Yeah, Brady not there 2 days in a row. Are you worried, Fred?
Maybe we should
stop talking about it.
Are you?
Start worrying about the quarterback.
You're worried about Brady now?
I am.
Well, he's not there 2 days in a row.
He's got a shoulder injury and a finger injury, and he's not practicing.
I just became concerned about that.
Yes. Wednesday's different.
I wasn't concerned going to practice.
Yesterday I wasn't concerned because I thought that there was a possibility that he came in, got the game plan, did meetings or whatever, and they
said, you know what?
Get home. Get home and get some rest.
Right.
2 days in a row tells me that he didn't practice yesterday because of something physical.
Yeah, but wasn't he limited participation yesterday?
Did not.
He wasn't
there.
Did not practice.
No, he was did not participate yesterday.
Okay.
So if today's limited, that's encouraging. If it's did not again, that's discouraging.
Hell no.
And when I say concerned, do I think he's not going to be on the field Sunday?
No.
No, I think he'll start the game, but I think there's a reason that he's not practicing.
But it's rare for him not to practice, even with the right shoulder.
Especially given his stubborn nature in training camp, where it was a big deal to him to make sure he was on the field every day.
And I don't want to be like, but they signed a quarterback to the practice squad. So they had a belief that he wasn't going to practice this week, potentially, correct? Brian Hoyer's taking the first team reps. They needed somebody else.
They wanted two guys to throw the ball, and they can't have Stanback doing it because he needs to take reps.
So to me, that's more concerning. Right. They even saw on the horizon he can't practice. Now, he may play, and he may be fine.
Yeah,
but
I think he'll play and all that stuff.
Because he always does, except when he tears his ACL.
I got to think
that. A lot of running game this week.
He always plays, except when he's hurt.
I think you're right about that.
Yeah.
I think there will be a lot of running game this week because Carolina can't stop the run. It's December here in New England, and that makes sense.
Moss might not be there.
What else you got, Eric?
Moss is checked out mentally.
Your, now, is that a brown V-neck?
I'm tired of you guys.
Is that a brown V-neck, Eric?
That's nowhere near brown.
It's like grayish.
It's gray.
You notice there's a little hop in his step, a little bit of
He had a show with two girls yesterday.
Yeah, he's feeling a little bit
I had a line I wanted to use
there
on the show, and I couldn't, but I told Andy about it afterwards.
All threesomes? Threesomes?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I knew that the girl sitting in your chair wasn't going to appreciate it.
The
so
girl?
I didn't
the
it.
Lady.
The girl?
The woman.
Whatever.
Girl.
Whatever?
Yeah,
whatever. Woman's.
That's not the sensitive
stuff right,
of
so
you know that I know.
Continuing with the practice report. The
is
only
Christina
other...
sitting here or Shalice?
Christina.
Okay. Yeah, she wouldn't have liked that.
No.
She doesn't like you.
Oh,
wow. I think she likes you, Eric.
Eyes well, up.
Not,
eyes up,
not,
Fred.
Not that
eyes
way.
Up, Fred.
Why is he looking at your groin?
What are you doing?
I know what he's doing, and it's
checking
it's,
to see if you
gross.
Are excited.
No, but just, I'll save him from himself and
keep
not...
Keep talking about practice, Eric.
Yeah. Myron Pryor was the only other guy who wasn't there yesterday and not there again today. Eric Alexander, who was there yesterday, was not there today. So those three, Brady, Alexander, and Pryor, were not at practice. So that means all four of the suspended guys,
exiled.
Reprimanded guys, dismissed guys, whatever
so
you want to call
Taylor
them.
Fred Taylor was there?
Fred Taylor came back, yep. But
so, he yesterday was did not participate too,
correct,
right?
Correct.
Even though he was there for your viewing period, right?
Who?
Fred Taylor.
No, he wasn't there at
he
all
wasn't
yesterday.
Wasn't there yesterday.
Oh. So now
yes,
he's there.
Yes, there were eight guys yesterday.
There were eight guys who were not there yesterday.
And it was the four guys that missed.
Four
Brady,
guys, Brady.
Pryor, Taylor,
Warren,
and Warren.
Taylor. Yeah, Warren returned. Taylor returned. Pryor was the only one
so
who did.
So Taylor got a shot Sunday then, maybe?
I think he does.
He's back there on Wednesday. Maybe one more week.
I think
week.
He does.
Yeah.
You might need him. I think Freddie's right. I think you're going to be. I think you're going to top 35.
Keep those fresh legs.
You're
going to
top 35
plays.
Running attempts on Sunday, Freddie.
Yep. This could turn into the 1978 Patriots.
I could see that.
Either that playoff run.
Either that, or they'd run the ball 11 times and get blasted.
Spread them out.
Yeah, as long as they don't fall behind by 10 or 14 points and have to start throwing.
Percentage
the ball.
Of times Brady takes the snap from under center, 50% over under.
Over
under.
This week.
I hate to have a cop out here. I need more information.
what do you think the percentage, I'll let you know after the game.
What do you think the percentage is like now?
No
like
idea.
Of the season?
What, over.
Oh, I think
from under center?
I think it takes
under.
Like 70% shotgun.
Shotgun, right.
Oh,
correct.
Then I would say under.
Yeah.
Continue that.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's going to change that dramatically. If we've had 70%
if the running
of the
game
shotgun,
is a big part of it.
Right, you just said they were going to have 35
if the running
carries,
game is a big part of it, that,
they
that
can
might...
run the ball from the shotgun.
Yeah, but I think, well, I
yeah,
think
I
what Fred means is just run the ball
that,
from
yeah.
a traditional set.
We're just going to run the
that's
damn
what
ball.
I envisioned.
Yeah.
Under center, handoff, mm-hmm. 4
eye
yards.
Formation.
Under center, handoff, 6 yards.
Yeah.
Not wrap-around draws and all this crap out of that spread crap.
My point being, I think that they're going to do more of that this week, but to alter your offense by 20% I think is a lot. I don't think it's going to be that much of a change.
I do.
That's I'll go with Paul.
I was with you.
Paul,
I still
I'm going to agree
under.
With you.
I still said under.
While disagreeing with you.
Not by much,
I don't
but
know
I think
what I'm
under.
Saying.
you're saying that you'll be more
you know
for the shotgun
today,
than
right,
not.
Fred?
What's that?
You know
yeah, I know. Okay. You got any other news for us, Eric? Time.
No, I know.
Again, not full
I
pads.
Think. The clock is
shells again.
Shells again.
Yeah.
No pads.
No.
They have no players.
Outside, though. Outside.
Oh, outside.
Yeah, outside.
Yeah, they did a good job today of clearing the field this morning. I was up in the press box watching them do it.
Okay.
Not the team on the field, just to get that. No one was out there, just workers clearing the field off.
Yeah, there's a lot of snow around here. All those freaking trucks and
it's unbelievable.
And,
you know, we didn't get any snow at all up north.
It's just amazing.
It is crazy.
Where do they take all
there
that?
There was a good amount of snow down here.
I don't know. They probably
they're loading
it.
Tractor trailer trucks full of snow and they head into the stadium. Like they're out by
they
the
throw it into Ponset River.
We have 350,000 that's actually against the law. We have we have 350,000 acres here, so they can take it somewhere.
I think the Spooky World lot they were putting
they
is that
deep
there.
I know they emptied a lot. There's like that drainage ditch right in front of the parking lots. They dump a lot there.
Ditch,
why don't they
Ponce
pile
River.
It up out by Bass Pro where they sell sleds and skis and build a little
make
ski
a little ski
slope.
Area.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'd like to have a sledding hill here.
Right? Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Great.
And then you can skate, have a little hot chocolate.
Yeah.
Hot toddy.
By the way, that reminds me,
that's
the
why
grand
I said
opening
it.
Of the winter skate today is at 5:30 here at Foxborough Stadium.
Presented by Raytheon.
And that'll
is
be,
it? Stadium?
No.
Oh.
And that'll be open
stadium,
until the
yeah.
end of February. You can come rent skates and ice skate right here at Patriot Place.
All
right.
Foxborough Stadium.
Yeah.
So
there's a little warm thing. I bet you they have hot chocolate in it.
They have hot chocolate and everything. All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, it's time to do the picks.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got razor-sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game, I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box. Right,
so, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
You won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
All right, welcome back to PFW Progress. It's Thursday. That means we go around the NFL with our weekly picks. So, Paul, why don't you fill us in on how we did last week?
Let's see here. Eric,
yes.
Continuing his groundswell of... you know,
good picks.
Okay, whatever. I didn't have a snappy line, so I'll go with good picks.
Eric didn't either, so he went with good picks.
Eric went 12-4. Andy and I went 10-6.
Premier prognostications.
Andy and I went 10-6, and
Kenyon!
Fred went 9-7. Yeah, the Kenyon is fading.
Kenyon tripped up about a mile and a half back.
With the spread, yeah, Eric more, also that won that at 11-5. Wow. Fred and I went 8-8, and Andy went 5-11. That's going to
that hurts a little bit, doesn't it?
I'm a Glasgowian.
that's not in Russia either. We missed you yesterday. He thought Glasgow was in Russia.
Nice.
Eric is 132-60. Andy is 130-62.
See, I'm right on his tail.
Paul.
No.
Fred, you notice I paused there after that one. Right. Paul is 127-65, and Fred is 115-77.
Wow.
Yeah, 12 games out of third place.
Wow.
Out of third.
With a spread, Eric took the lead yesterday, this week, I should say.
This is the first time Eric's been in the stadium.
Okay. 104-87-1. I am
usually
second.
Usually you're way out.
Oh, 101-90-1.
This is the first year you've even been anywhere near any of us.
That's baloney.
Listen to him say us. He had 1 year.
Yeah, 1 year.
1 year.
1 year you had
a
good
year. Are you kidding
me?
101-90-1, so I am 3 games behind Eric based on my 11-5, 8-8 from this past week. Andy, 95, 96, and 1, so you still got a shot to finish over 500. Fred, you do not have...
All right, let's talk about the games
Fred,
this week.
You do not have said shot to finish over 500 at 85, 106, and 1.
Wow. Yeah, not a good year.
Thursday night football. Do we have a snappy little song for Thursday night football?
It's awful. Pittsburgh and Cleveland. Do they have a song?
Wow, good, Paul.
There it is.
That's the Thursday night football song. They never have good matchups for this game.
No.
They had that one Green Bay-Dallas game.
When everybody ordered it? That was the first one.
It's almost like, you know.
And that was it.
It's almost like the league, you know, they started having games on their own network, and it's like they don't want to take the good games yet and have the networks get mad at them, so they take the dogs just... You know,
but it's like they knew 6 months ago what the dogs were going to
be. Like a lot of the matchups, you know, like
Eric Mangini coaching the Browns, pretty safe taking a Browns
game. That's
true.
That's a good point there. Cleveland, Pittsburgh could have.
No,
it couldn't have. This is my point. Is no one thought Cleveland was going to be good. Nobody.
Dog.
They were picked to finish last.
This is a better game than it was supposed to be because Pittsburgh's not as good. That's the only thing that's closed into
competitive. Because Cleveland is got that, you know, car wreck kind of curiosity factor going. You don't know what's going to happen on that sideline. You want to tune in. I mean, a lot of
Did you see Brian Cox had to be the voice of reason to stand between Mangini and an official he wanted to fight? Can you imagine if Brian Cox is your voice of reason?
Oh, speaking of sideline behavior,
double barrels.
Did you happen to see the story about the Harbaughs? John Harbaugh needs to try to control his brother because he was Jim was yelling at the officials during the game the other night. And he goes, yeah, I got to get a hold of Coach Harbaugh. I got to rein him in a little bit.
Those Harbaughs, they're feisty.
Wow. You should get Stan to step in there.
Touche. Pittsburgh is at Cleveland tonight, Andy, and the Browns are getting 10 points at home.
I'll take the Steelers to win and cover because Mendenhall is ridiculous. No, he's not.
That's worked out well for him the last couple of weeks.
They lost to the Raiders when I – but
listen,
Gradkowski. Mendenhall is ridiculous. Mendenhall
Maybe they'll unleash
ridiculous.
Purgatory this week.
I'm not
– Good Fred.
I'm not – Because Mike Tomlin
unleash
said
hell.
They're going to unleash hell here in December.
So they're not that good. So
it's like the Gladiator thing. Isn't that from Gladiator?
Yeah. Ooh. At my command, unleash hell.
Yeah. I thought that was a line from one of those movies that you guys always say are great.
Gladiator's
you
a great
You didn't see
movie.
Gladiator?
I think I did, but it didn't move me.
Didn't
like
resonate.
It did everybody else. And I don't mean in the Andy sense getting moved.
I've never heard that before.
We're going after you quick.
Did you make that up? Would you hear?
No, that's an old joke.
I never heard that.
I've heard the banger.
I thought I heard them all.
The rectum and all that stuff.
Rectum. Damn near.
No, did you hear about the Happy Roman? He was Gladiator.
It's even better.
It's new to me, so it's funny.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I thought for sure Pittsburgh. Oh, I'm sorry, Eric.
I'm sorry. Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh.
I'm going to take Pittsburgh. I'm already off on it. I thought for sure they were going to win the rest of their games after that unleash hell, and they had Oakland at home and Cleveland and a bunch of stiffs. But
anything going on there locker room-wise?
Oh, absolutely.
Interesting. The two best, most stable organizations in football. What is it, Paul?
The wheels on the bus are falling off.
Winning is the elixir, right?
No, but the winners are losing it.
Right, the Roethlisberger Hines Ward thing from a couple of weeks ago was not good for that locker room.
That's the FCC.
Now, all that said, you know, you talk about, you know, you're looking for leaders, you're looking for a spark. Troy Polamalu. I mean, how much of a difference can one guy make? Don't tell me they would have lost to Kansas City and Oakland and all
these
teams.
The Bob Sanders of the.
Anyway,
Steelers.
I'll take Pittsburgh only because Cleveland's that bad.
Yeah,
11 points ought to be a cover.
I'll take Pittsburgh too.
No. I think it's 14. Generally, the Browns score a field goal.
Okay, 14. Although, I got to tell you, I don't feel too confident about picking Pittsburgh in anything right now. Decent matchup here between two potential playoff teams, Andy. Denver at Indy. Colts by 7.
I will take the Colts to win and cover. The Colts are the real deal, and I think they continue to roll for a little while longer. And I don't think much of the Denver Broncos, so I don't think they have what it takes to go into the new place.
Lucas Oil.
And get it done.
Just Lucas Oil. All
right.
This is going to sound like a shot at the Patriots, but the Broncos and the Patriots are in the same league.
I agree.
The Patriots couldn't go in there and get the job done. I don't think the Broncos are capable.
No. But the only difference is I think New England put up more of a fight than the Broncos are going to put up.
I agree.
And Indy's going to win. Until I see it, I'm not going to buy into the fact that Indy's going to lay down and not go undefeated. So I'll take Indy, and you can lay the points too.
Yeah, I'm going to take Indy, too, although I do think there's a chance that Denver wants this game and needs this game a lot more, and they perhaps pull an upset. But I kind of agree with what Eric said. Until I see Indy actually pull back on the reins and stop going full throttle, I'm going to assume that they're going to win. I'll take the Colts.
Yeah, I got to take the Colts, too.
Because you like to root against Josh McDaniels.
No, I want Denver to win this game. But
oh, no, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Okay. I thought we cared about the Patriots, but evidently we care about meaningless records. But yeah. Okay. Cincinnati is at Minnesota.
Patriots are going to win.
Yes, they do.
He'd rather no one else go 16-0 than help the playoffs
right.
this year. Cincinnati at,
home, at
Minnesota is another good matchup here, I think, with two playoff-bound teams. Mm. Vikings by 6.5, coming off a blowout loss, which, by the way, was not anywhere near as close as the score indicated.
I think that's a good slap in the face for them. It may be the right time of year. I think that maybe they were feeling a little good about themselves, got slapped around a bit, returned to home. I think they get the job done, and they're going to cover and keep Chad Ochocinco from stealing whatever that guy's name is. He's threatening to steal his foghorn, leghorn thing. And
oh, yeah, the Viking guy.
Also his motorcycle, he claims. He's going to steal the
motorcycle
and try to cross the field.
What do you think he's going to get fined for that?
Just the horn? $35,000, whatever the next
$5,000. He got fined
the motorcycle,
more for wearing a
$100,000.
He got fined more for wearing a sombrero than he did giving the referee a bribe.
Well, I think now they're just tacking. What'd we give him last week? Look it up. Add 5 or 7.
Totally unfair. What do you got?
I like the Vikings to bounce back in this. It's going to be a close game, though. What's the number, 6?
6.5.
I'll take Minnesota.
We'll be back after this.
No, I'll take Minnesota both ways. I think they'll win by a touchdown.
Yeah, not so fast, my friends. Here's an upset coming right here. I think last week is the start
of the downfall
of what Eric has been waiting for since September 1st.
I hope you're right, Paul, and
well,
I hope I'm wrong.
Doesn't Minnesota now have injuries along the offensive line?
Seriously, did you happen to see, by the way, one of the most gruesome injuries I've seen in a long time? E.J. Henderson broke his femur.
No. Oh,
in
no.
that game? Oh,
you really
my
asking
God,
me
was that bogus. Yeah. You really just don't watch anything with this league, do you?
I didn't see that either, though. Did it come? Was it one of those Joe Theismann kind of things?
No, he got hit by his own guy and went over the top, but you could see his leg in a position it's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
I do think you're right, Freddie. I think there's some injuries here, but I think Minnesota is good, but I don't think they're great. And I'm not sure about Cincinnati. I'm admittedly doing a little blind faith here, but I'm going AFC, NFC. Tough AFC team. And at AFC North, they played some big games. I think they go and they get it done.
Wow.
Good matchup for those Samoan and Tongan defensive linemen against the Vikings in the running game.
Well, they're banged up.
I think Minnesota wins this game and covers.
You're right.
So.
All right, so I lost that one. What are you going to do? It's only one game. The Jets without Mark Sanchez at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay getting 3 at home.
Boy, this I don't know about this game. With Kellen Clemens, huh?
Kellen
I'm
Clemens
say that
to start.
The Jets just run the ball down the Bucs' throat, and that's enough to win. The Bucs, not a great football team. They gave it away last week against the Panthers when they could have won that game. So I say they'll give it away again. Darrell Revis, pick, run the ball, cruise to victory without your starter.
I think the loss of Sanchez is going to hurt the Jets, and I think Tampa Bay will play just well enough at home to win this game.
Wow.
I think the loss of Sanchez
is good.
helps them
yeah.
in the short term. I think they need him back. Obviously, you want to get experience. But I think it focuses the offense on playing sort of, as Andy said, running the football, mistake-free, quote-unquote, game manager kind of football, and rely on your defense. Tampa Bay doesn't have a lot going for them on offense. I think this is the kind of team the Jets can post impressive numbers defensively and maybe get like a 17-6 kind of win. You know, nothing too fancy, but I think they should have enough even without Sanchez.
Yeah, I agree with Paul. Jets. Back to Cincinnati. You guys agree with the $30,000 fine for the sombrero?
Kind of.
He really doesn't pay attention to it.
Kind
us.
Of.
No, I don't.
I don't either.
He's openly just telling the league to take their rules and shove it.
I like that because in this case, the rules are stupid.
Well, I kind of agree with that. But
the rule here is
the rules are in place.
The rules here are you can't wear non-licensed apparel on the sideline.
I know. Yeah,
but I can
you know
see
what?
That.
I mean,
you know,
but Andy's right. He's getting fined excessively. What's the fine for wearing non-licensed
I don't know.
Apparel?
Probably $7,500.
Is it $30,000?
No. But he's a repeat offender.
Right.
Not only a repeat offender, he mocks them. He tells them what he's going to do. I found a loophole.
And for that reason, I think it's wrong.
You know what? Like Fred's guy said, change must come from somewhere. Change should start
He's now a leader?
He is the leader of the revolution. He is kind of. If there's a stupid rule, it has to be changed, and somebody has to step up and show that it needs to be changed.
A mature way to do things and an immature way to do things?
That sounded a little like the Nobel Peace Prize winning president who just escalated the war over in Afghanistan.
That's what I was talking
about. But I digress. Buffalo at Kansas City in the game of the day. If Gus Johnson's not doing this one, I don't know where he is. Pick him. And
I don't want to.
And I don't mean your nose.
Or your
ass.
I got no idea. You know what was really eye-opening is everybody – I heard people say, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick has helped them. And if you look at his numbers, they're atrocious.
He's terrible.
The only thing he's done has gotten the ball to T.O. a little bit. He's had a couple big play touchdowns, a couple big games.
And I would argue that the coaching change is probably as much as responsible for that as anything.
I'm going to put my faith – it's in Kansas City, right?
Yeah.
I'll put my faith with Matt Castle and the home team.
Me too.
Yeah, I will take Buffalo only because I think Buffalo is a better team.
Me too.
Well, that was nice of you to go both ways.
Yeah.
Buffalo, I'm looking at for the win here.
Actually, can I
take Buffalo, you too?
Kansas City straight up?
Guarantee yourself a
win. And Bills with the points.
Guarantee yourself a
win?
No, I'm not letting you do that.
It's not legal
it's
in
my
this
notebook.
Game.
I'm not letting you do that. Let's see. Green Bay is at Chicago, where the Bears are getting 3 points at home.
Green Bay, they were my team early. I kicked them to the curb. Well, I just came back around in the car and picked them up. They're my team again. They're going to the Super Bowl. They're rolling under the radar in the
rolling
NFC.
To the Super
I really don't like Green Bay after all I've seen of them this year. But you know what? I like Chicago even less, so I'll have to go with Green Bay.
I have to agree with Eric.
The Cutler
all
did
around.
It.
I don't like Green Bay very much, but Chicago stinks.
I think Green Bay's defense is really
stinks.
Playing well now.
It's dominant.
Who do you have?
Get it? Dom Capers. It's dominant.
Dom.
See, people who ask BFW want to bring him back as a coordinator. We need a real defensive coordinator like Dom Capers.
Yeah. And Dick
was here last year.
I've seen Dick
Geron. He coached
your
secondary last year when they were giving up 80 yards a snap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you wanted him out of there.
Right.
People wanted him out.
They hated Charlie Weiss. They want Charlie Weiss back.
New Orleans coming off their
2007. They're never happy.
Right.
New Orleans coming off their 2007 version of the Ravens win for the Patriots.
Yep.
Is at Atlanta.
Hot Atlanta.
Favored by 10.5 on the road. A lot of points.
I'll take the Saints to win. Who's playing quarterback in Atlanta?
I believe Redmond, right?
I think so.
That was a cue for you to give us some information.
What's that?
Who's playing quarterback for the Falcons?
Let's see if NFL.com can help me out.
The NFL.com.
Matt Ryan was on the injury report yesterday. Did not participate with a toe injury.
Okay.
Yeah, I know he had surgery.
I'll take the Saints.
Even if Ryan were playing, I'd probably still take the Saints.
I would too.
I don't see them losing.
Just wanted to know. I like full information when
I
make a selection.
Sure. I hear that. What was the spread, though, just for
10.5.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would be taking the Saints to win either way, but I would be taking the points with Atlanta if Ryan were playing.
Matt Ryan's not listed on the injury report.
Yeah,
so.
Doc just told you he didn't practice yesterday. It's funny how he has it in front of him on his computer.
Fred, your guy Gerhardt suggests he's going to go to the draft this year.
That's your guy. He's a senior. No?
Guess not.
He's not a senior?
I'll tell you what I suggest. Not drafting him in the first two rounds.
There he is. There's your guy, Fred.
Heath Evans.
I thought he's not a senior.
I'll tell you what I suggest.
He looks like a freshman.
He's a great player.
I'm taking the Saints, Freddie. What do you
he's
got?
He's Andy Hart in high school.
I'm going to take Atlanta.
He's got a head about as big as yours, too.
Atlanta.
It causes it to grow.
Win?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Got a bit of an acne problem, too.
Detroit at Baltimore, Andy. Ravens by 13.
Who was the first team?
Detroit.
Detroit at Baltimore. I will take Dante Culpepper starting for the Lions. I do not need Fred to tell me that one.
You're taking Detroit?
No.
Oh.
I'll take the Baltimore Ravens to win, but I will also take them to cover.
But I will also take them.
Yeah, I like Baltimore both ways on this, too.
Yeah, I didn't realize Culpepper was playing. I will lay the points in that regard. I'll take Baltimore both ways.
He might not be. I'll take league news for me.
You said you knew that for sure.
I read it.
Who do you like at BC versus USC?
USC.
I don't care.
Baltimore you took?
Yeah.
He has terrible ball security too. The ball's everywhere.
Is she the one?
It's always
one
all
he
over
just
the place.
But
all of his runs
balls up here.
All of his runs when he's doing spin moves, it's out there. He is
I could pencil this one in for Freddie. Miami at Jacksonville, Jags at home by 2.5 in front of friends and family.
I'll take the Jags to win. letdown for the Dolphins. They're not that good.
I agree for the same reasons. Jacksonville's fighting, playing a lot better at this point in the season than I would have expected them to. I'll take them to win.
Plus, they're at home.
I do worry about the letdown factor. However, I will take the Dolphins to pull off the very, 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 very minor upset.
Boy, this is a pick'em as far as I'm concerned. I'll take Jacksonville.
Okay. Like you really needed to think about that.
The home team.
Seattle at Houston. Texans reeling. Losers are 4 in a row. Favored by 6.
Wow. 4-game losing streak and favored by 6.
Correct.
Over the visiting Seattle Seahawks. Those guys know something. I will take the Texans to win at home, and I will take them to cover.
I like Seattle. I think it's going to go 5 in a row for Houston in the loss column.
You're wrong.
Maybe.
I think the Texans blow them out. Doesn't mean anything because they're still done, but I think they blow out the Seahawks.
Also doesn't mean anything because you're wrong sometimes.
That's true. More times than not.
Gladiator.
What are you picking there, Happy Roman?
Seahawks.
Happy Roman.
Houston. Houston.
All righty then. Got to hurry quickly here. St. Louis at Tennessee. Looking to get back on the winning track is Vinsanity. Favored by 13.
And a good good way to do that is against a team like the Rams.
Also correct, Andy.
But 13?
Yeah, that's a lot of points.
I'll take the points.
I think I'll have to agree with the Kenyan.
I'll take the points.
Take Tennessee and the points.
Yeah, I'll lay the points. I'll take Tennessee to win and cover.
I'll go with the other two. I'll take the points.
Mel Kiper always looks mad when he does those face-off things with Todd McShay.
I think he is.
You think he really doesn't kill him?
I think he
doesn't like him?
Yeah, I don't think he respects him.
He doesn't believe he should be on the same screen with him.
And I kind of agree with him. Who's Todd McShay?
He's a local kid.
Swampskid. How did he get to where he is?
Like,
because Mel Kiper started the industry in which they work. Mm-hmm. You can never question. You know how Bill likes people that work their way up?
Right.
Mel Kiper is the ultimate of that. Whatever you think of him now, he built the industry that McShay is now milking.
I don't know every detail of this story, but I heard him talking about it on the radio this week, Todd McShay. And he was, I think he was working for Gary Horton, which is one of those draft guys. I forget which one it is. It's not, it might be our lads. It's one of those. It's one of your guys, Freddie, I think.
Yeah.
And Gary Horton had a relationship with Belichick. And he came in to watch college tape for the first time, watch, you know, prospects. And he had an opportunity to go with Gary Horton with Bill Belichick. And he kind of broke down some stuff and obviously has been pretty good at it. He's worked his way up since then. But he had an opportunity. I don't know how he got the opportunity to get with Gary Horton, but that was one of the ways he started.
Gary Horton comes in and watches film with Bill Belichick?
This I took to be quite a while ago. But Gary Horton used to work with under Belichick in Cleveland.
We got to hurry.
Why?
Because Fred's falling asleep.
Washington at Oakland, Andy. The suddenly giant-killing Raiders.
You know
at
why?
Home.
Bruce!
Getting Gradkowski. 1 point.
Bruce Gradkowski getting it done. I'll take him. Why not? Richard Seymour. Talking the talk today, which we failed to talk about in 2 hours of radio show. I will take them to win at home.
Yes, Andy. Gradkowski has put some fire in those Raiders.
TB2.
And you know what? It's he's not going to get it done this week, though. I think the Redskins are playing better than expected, given how their coach is going to be done. So I'll take the Redskins to win this game. And the points.
You're going to lay the point?
Yeah.
Okay. I, too, will be taking the Redskins. I just can't take Oakland, and they win a game like last week, and you say, wow, Oakland's not
bad.
Yeah,
they trick you.
They come home, and they lose to a 3-9 team.
That's right.
So I'll take the Redskins.
Yeah, it's a shame that Washington won that game last week. I got to take the Redskins.
Suddenly, Freddie's rooting for Daniel Snyder now. San Diego at Dallas in what should also be a very entertaining battle. Cowboys by 3, trying to get rid of that December thing that's hanging over them. They're the anti-Patriots and Chargers.
I will take the Chargers, since the Chargers are the Chargers, and I think they're playing pretty good football, and I think that's all it takes at this point in years. Generally, you go with the team that's playing better football.
I agree with that. San Diego is playing better football. Dallas is not.
I'll go with the nominal upset here. Pick the Chargers.
Yeah, I like the Chargers too. Better team, and I think there's something to that late season thing. And Romo, I can tell, is already worried about it. He had a great game last week. They lost, and I can tell already that they are mentally worried about. And they have a tough schedule, by the way, in December.
I'll take the Chargers as well.
Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
Wow.
Philadelphia at the Giants for the Sunday night game. Giants coming off the win over Dallas. They win this one, and suddenly they're right back in the thick of things at the top of the NFC East.
How the hell that happened?
Giants by one.
I'll take the Giants. The key for them, I think, well, you know, keys have been Eli Manning, the running game, and the defense. Well, they got the running game back a little bit, and Brandon Jacobs, keep rolling. What's the number?
One.
Sure.
No, I think you're wrong. I like Philadelphia in this game. They're playing much more consistent football all around than the Giants, and even though it's a road game for them, I think they'll win.
Yeah, I want the Giants to win the game, but I don't think they will. I think they were a little lucky last week in their win over Dallas. I think Dallas, for a lot of that game, outplayed them. Just not sold on the Giants' defense. They look like they're in shambles. I think Philadelphia wins this game.
I'm going to go with the Giants. A little late-season surge here against their NFC East opponents.
Monday night game, not such a great matchup. Arizona at San Francisco. Niners getting 3 at home.
I'll take the Niners to win and cover. I don't like the Cardinals. Yep, I don't like the Cardinals.
Tough division game.
I just don't like the Cardinals.
Upset.
Don't bug me. I just don't like them.
Don't bug you. Wow. Well, again, Andy's wrong. Arizona's going to win, and yeah, big.
I think this is a layup. I'll take the Cardinals.
Yeah, I got to go with the Cardinals.
We'll see how that layup goes. Talk to me on Tuesday.
Can you imagine how arrogant he's going to be if they happen to win?
Yes, I can.
Any more than normal?
I've seen it.
All right, well.
That's what I'm saying. Can you imagine how arrogant he'll be?
We're down to our last game now.
13.5 Patriots favored at home. 13.5. Losers of 3 of 4, and they're still laying 13.5.
Go ahead, Amy.
Yes, the game is on Fox. We all know that.
Oh, the robots dancing and flexing their biceps. Yeah. Big fan.
Pam Oliver going to be in the house?
Fred?
Freddie likes her.
She's on the number one team, isn't she?
We're not getting the number one team?
I don't think so.
I don't think we deserve it.
I believe Moose Johnson, Sarah Gusa, and somebody else are here.
Andy's going to be the side of the
I might wear my Moose jersey to the press box, have him sign it. I will take the Patriots to win and cover. I think they will get it done, but I'm not sure what it says long term. I don't think the Panthers are good. That's the bottom line. I know they have talent, stars, Steve Smith, Julius Peppers. I mean, they should have lost last week to the Bucks. They got 2 John Beeson interceptions in the red zone that keep them from losing, from pooping it away. So I just think if the Patriots don't win this game, then let's just all plan vacations for January 4th.
I kind of tend to agree.
I don't think it's telling in any way, but I think they get it done. I mean, if they lose this game, then I think I definitively say they blew it with
You're
their motivational
live. Matthews
decision.
Arena, Northeastern host, George Mason.
Yes, that's Paul, that's Will.
The only rich and the row behind them.
Boring.
Shut up.
All right, big shock here, Paul. I will take the Patriots to win the game, but give me those points. Even against a bad Carolina team, I think that's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. I'm going to take the Patriots, and I'm going to lay the points. And I got to tell you, I think this will be the last time I'll be laying points with the Patriots. Yeah. I think from here on in, they're going to be favored in all those games.
Right.
But I think I'm going to be taking the underdog to cover it at the very least.
I'm taking the points. I think the Patriots win by 10, but that's not enough.
Yeah, so. That's not enough to feel good going against Matty Moore and the
Thunder and
the
Lightning
Panthers.
And Steve Smith and
I'll tell you, Matty Moore,
and Peppers. And,
and I know sometimes you read these scouting reports and you can get yourself all, you know, concerned about all kinds of things. But listening to Bill talk about Moore's ability to move around and run a little bit. And then I was reading a thing that I think Albert Breer wrote in the Globe about a scout talking about Matt Moore's arm. And, you know, DeLome was just trying to force the ball into places. He didn't have the arm strength to get it there anymore.
Yeah.
And Moore has an arm to get the ball downfield a little bit, and maybe he hits Steve Smith or something. You know, talking about covering. I don't think they can win, but covering. If he makes one play, maybe that DeLome couldn't have, and all of a sudden, you know, you run the ball a little bit, and it's a closer game than you thought.
Yeah.
As bad as things are going for the secondary, I started getting worried about Matt Moore.
John Rooks here because Patriots Playbook is next. What I miss? Y'all
he's
excited about
Panthers
Texas
shirt on too? I think
Texas
that's
getting
subliminal.
To the national championship.
Oh. Texas shirt.
Panthers, he said.
Panthers. Oh, Panthers. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's an aqua-colored
Great.
Polo pony.
Yeah.
Y'all excited about Texas being the national championship, or are you
I'm
afraid?
Just relieved.
Relieved?
Relieved.
Yeah, they should have lost that game, John.
Huge sense
they
of relief.
They should have lost that game.
I have always said it's better to be lucky than good. Yeah. And any team that has designs on winning a championship must have a little luck over the course of their schedule, their season. It happens with any Super Bowl champion. It happens with any World Series champion. It happens with any national champion.
New Orleans
you
got
to have some
undefeated.
Luck.
Undefeated.
Got to have some luck. And Texas had their stroke against Nebraska.
All right.
All right. Well, John's next.
Gladiator.
I'm sure John will be talking with all the developments today at Gillette Stadium. And
I will.
Yesterday and
what did I miss?
All the.
Dallas Thomas. He's not happy.
No.
As
really?
As the team turns with John Rook.
As the team turns.
Anything going on in the show, John?
Other than the fact that I'll probably do a soft shoe and Eric will watch me. Other than that, no.
Wow.
No, actually.
Listen, what you guys do on your own time is up to you.
That got kind of awkward quickly.
Soft shoes. All right.
No, we'll have plenty of. We got a couple of interviews coming up, so we'll be in good shape.
Okay. Well, stay tuned. As for us, we'll see you next Tuesday.